feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can?
No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, welcome to the program, everybody. Another wonderful Sunday. And Doc, summer is approaching fast. You can feel it in the studio.
Oh, it feels great.
It's already approaching 80 degrees in Pacheco. And I'm remembering last summer already. Tasty, you know how it gets in here.
It's a little sweaty in here.
Sweaty and ridiculous. Trying to get Dan Gordon in before it gets too hot.
That's what I was about to say.
That's our barometer for when to get Dan in, is whether or not he's going to, you know, sweat himself right out of his chair. We have to do it before April, I think.
Well, it does make him drink more beer, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I guess it makes sense. He brews lagers, you know. He doesn't like to be hot.
No, it's true.
Did that make sense?
And Bevo's back in the studio with us today.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, Bevo. Oh, I think you've muted yourself.
Good.
Actually, you know what?
Blah. Blah.
I messed with your microphone. And I shouldn't have. Follow that cord that you're touching right there. Unplug it from your little box and give me the end of it. No, leave it plugged in there. Follow it all the way down to the floor. Unplug it from that box and give me the end so that we can hear you. We got to find out about how your honeymoon was. Bevo just got back from Hawaii.
Yeah.
I saw Sammy in there. He's smiling.
Yeah. Oh, Sam.
Of course he's smiling. I think he's had Permigrin for 2 weeks.
William Brand is in the studio with us. Bill, welcome. It's good to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here. This is fairly cool.
You know, I've been a big fan of yours for a couple years now, since before I started this. So I'm a little starstruck having you in the studio. I'm happy to have you.
Oh, my goodness. Don't do that.
Yeah. It is kind of creepy. I agree.
Save that for the TV people.
Okay. Let's try that.
Hello.
All right.
Hi.
So you can no longer mute yourself now until I'll fix it at the break.
Okay. I'll try not to.
Just don't make any weird noises.
Do anything stupid.
So, Bevo comes rolling up my driveway like Tuesday. Her and Sam had to come, you know, pick up the last of Sam's things now that they're married and Sam's left the nest. I was really depressed about, by the way.
I'm sorry. You can have him back.
It's already.
Can we have him alone every once in a while?
Well, she comes like aching up, lumbering up the driveway. She's hunched over. She's got her arm on her side. She's barely walking. You can tell she's in a lot of pain. And Sam's walking behind her, and I'm like, Sammy, you really gave it to her on your honeymoon.
I think Sammy forgot the safe word.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think Bevo forgot the safe word.
Oh. But turns out poor Bevo got sick at the end of the got a kidney infection or something at the well, luckily it was the last day of your honeymoon, right?
No, I had a bladder infection like more than half the time we were there.
Oh.
And I decided to self-treat
with alcohol.
You should never do. No. Oh. Well, there was alcohol.
Just flush it
but
out.
But I tried to drink a lot of water too
with a couple Hawaiian guys.
Shut up. Okay. But no, it turned into a kidney infection like the day we got back. And
oh,
it just,
man.
It was terrible.
Welcome to adulthood, Bevo.
Yeah. Screw that.
Too late.
It was funny, though. Sam was so proud. I was like, Sammy, look what you did to her. And he just smiled. Yeah, I did.
He probably wasn't even aware what you were talking about.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, whatever.
Poor girl. You spent that night in the emergency room, though, did you?
Yep.
Tuesday night or whatever it was. Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Everything all right now?
Right as rain.
All right.
On a bunch of antibiotics, can't have a drop of beer.
Oh, no drinking for Bevo today. See, Doc, you guys are trading off.
It works for me.
We're going to do some tastings later on. Okay. You know, we got all that beer sent in for you, your sympathy beer.
A That's a good thing.
Will become known as. And we're going to do a big show with it, but yeah, there's really so much of it. And since we have William here, William does a lot of tastings and writes about a lot of tastings. So with Bill, we're going to do a couple tastings of the ones that you've been sent.
That'd
today.
Be great.
Cool.
We'll do that later on. I mean, we've got a bunch.
Yeah, Bill doesn't know they sent beers from all over United States in here, because I haven't been able to drink for about 3 months because of my foot.
Oh.
So they're stacking firewood pretty well. So
yeah.
these are homebrew from around?
Some are homebrew. Some are beers we can't get from around here.
Most of them are commercial.
A lot of them are commercial.
You know what? You name it. We got it, I think. They really sent us a whole bunch of different
anything
beers.
Anything with Jolly Pumpkin?
Jolly Pumpkin is in the mail, I've heard.
Wow.
That's on its way. We didn't get Jolly Pumpkin yet.
That stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of things that we can go. In fact, we'll let you pick.
Yeah, maybe at one of the breaks we'll go out and kind of raid the fridge and
give them some feedback on what it is.
Yeah. But so we're going to do that a little bit later in the show, a couple of tastings. We got to get some of these out of the way, because if we do it all in one show, Doc,
I'll be dead.
Yeah, forget
it. I'll have my own kidney infection.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why? Because you'll be screwed?
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
So we do have a lot to get to today, and I also want to get through it relatively quickly. I want to say that right now.
Okay,
I think we're going to be done by like 7:30.
I know. Like 9.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, add an hour to it. Hey, you know what? I'm glad that we all remember the time change, actually. I'm surprised.
Yeah. That's the first thing I told you.
According to the chat room, there was a running joke as to whether or not you'd remember it or not.
Oh, I'm sure there was. Those jerks. No faith.
None at all.
Now, somebody told me, so I set my clocks. I actually thought it was Monday. I didn't realize it happened yesterday. We've had a heck of a weekend. Friday night, we go out to this dive bar in Clayton.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's kind of divey.
It was a dive bar on accident.
It's not. I've been in much worse.
Oh, sure. I mean, it didn't smell like urine or anything, but it was pretty bad.
You wouldn't find a self-respecting biker in there.
Schumann picked up on a chick there, though. Good, you got her number.
What a surprise.
I missed that.
It's going to be a mess. Anyway, it was also karaoke night.
Yeah, which was fun in itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Now, Sully's supposed to be here. I hope he gets here because...
Oh, man.
That guy's an animal. Bill, you know Sean O'Sullivan.
Yeah,
from the 21st Amendment.
Absolutely. My favorite brewer.
He's everybody's favorite brewer.
Yeah.
That guy's let me tell you, this guy's got brass balls.
Was it me, or was he in rare form?
Yeah, he was cutting loose. He was just, he needed a night out, and he was cutting loose.
Yeah.
So he gets up and...
Some guy gets up there and he says his name.
Well, they call out your name. You know, you put in your name to do karaoke. The woman calls out the names, and she calls out Sean Sullivan. Somebody's who was singing there's name was Sean Sullivan. So that guy gets up, starts his song, and Sully goes, well, I'm an O'Sullivan, so I'm getting up there too. And he pulls out his ID and he walks up on stage. The guy's already singing. He shows the guy his ID, which I guess meant he's supposed to have permission to be there.
Yeah, so I think it's
singing backup for the guy.
And starts singing backup and also like interpretive dancing the guy's song.
Yeah.
And then at some point in the song,
he kept grabbing
Sully
the guy
starts
too.
Moshing behind him.
Yeah.
And finally, he just bumps the guy just one too many times. The guy turns around, throws the microphone at Sully, and storms off stage like a diva. Like Sully ruined his moment to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but then how much of a professional was Sully that he picked up the mic and finished the song?
Picked
for
up
that
the mic,
guy.
Finished the song, gets off stage. Pulls out a 20 and throws it down on the guy's table and goes, here's for your troubles.
Yeah, that was good.
What a jerk Sully is. This poor guy.
I love him.
Oh, it was fantastic. This guy's there with his, who knows?
Entourage.
The couple of lady friends he's trying to impress with his karaoke prowess.
Couple cows.
He's one song that he does. And he did it pretty well.
And Sully just stomps all over him. He got to redeem himself later.
It was good.
Poor guy. Oh, what a night. And then last night we went out to see Schumann's band, and that was a good time. Another dive bar. A lot of good-looking people, though.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, speak of the devil.
There's Sully now. He's coming. And we just told your karaoke. I knew one of us would fall victim to the time change.
I'm just using it as an excuse.
Yeah. We just told your karaoke story. You missed it. What a night that was because of you, Sully.
That was a lot of fun. I think I really, really burned bright that night.
You did. Well, the good news is JP has some of it on video.
You know what? Can I write you a check later for
yes, yes, please.
I thought so. I said we're going to have to look at that and see if Sully will approve us.
Actually, just give me Jamie's number and we'll call it even.
Publicizing.
Yeah, because I got another round of fundraising coming up for the new production company. And,
we got to be careful.
That could probably hurt, you know.
You and Schumann now, with your, you guys are like controlling your press. I'm not allowed to post any bad pictures of Schumann. Now that you've got fundraising going on, I have to be nice to you.
We're just trying to manage the message.
Manage the message.
Yeah.
And that message is love.
Well, the bummer is we thought that we had video of the climax, the best part, when the guy, you know, threw the microphone at you and stormed off stage. But we don't. Tasty lost it.
It was a technical malfunction.
Yeah.
That was out of control.
You were
I turned Clayton upside down.
No, we were talking how great you were that night. It was out
of control. Oh, really? Okay, yeah, I was great.
Yeah.
In a good way, you were out of control. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was never so proud of you than you getting up and dissing that kid.
I'll be honest with you. I walked into that place, and I said, first of all, I didn't know where the hell Clayton is. I don't even know what that is. I thought it was near Nevada.
That's tasty stuff.
And I get out there and walk in that place, and I was told by JP that it was some great new beer bar, and they had like one great beer on draft.
They're attempting to be. This is why we went. It's a bar. He's willing to use a couple of tap handles to put some good beers on if beer drinkers are willing to come out to his place.
Yeah. Right.
So as a show of support of a local beer owner to increase their beer selection, we got a crew together. There had to be 18 or 20 of us. And went to support. So it's not this beer bar, but he's trying.
He wants to use the let us use the back room Doze.
The club
to use the back room, and he's willing to.
Now that's a good idea.
Let us do it, yeah. And he doesn't mind us, you know, serving our home.
I just like
there.
Stepped on like future sponsorship dollar. Right
I doubt it. It's a Clayton business. He's not going to be rolling in it.
So and then the karaoke started, and it was just crazy.
It was all uphill from there.
Well, and everybody I invited, I said, listen, I'm not vouching for this bar or what's going to take place there. What I will vouch for is the group of people we're bringing is guaranteed to bring a good time. It'll be a lot of fun.
It was pretty wild. Jay-Z stayed there a lot longer than I thought he would. He said he's going to cut out of there early.
No, Jameel rocked out. Well, you too. You said you were going to go home at a reasonable hour. You ended up driving us home when we shut the bar down.
Yeah, and 7 o'clock came real early that next morning.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a.
Hey, did you tell the reason I got up on stage?
Yes,
because the guy's name was
Sean
Sullivan. He was like anti-matter coming together. That guy was like 180 degrees of who I am.
Yes,
I mean
you're right.
Yeah.
He was button up shirt. He was
button up shirt guy,
really clean,
pretty good looking, nice built guy. Had a lot of money, a lot of chicks
girls
around him.
The big problem was he was doing sober
he's
karaoke.
Doing things.
Yes,
there should be a law against sober karaoke.
Yeah, because he had got there like. I mean, the karaoke just started, and half an hour later, they called his name. He could not have been...
And he had his own tape, so...
Oh, yeah, he brought his own...
Did he really?
Because
I thought that was a joke.
No, he had his... You know, when
he was serious. He was practicing before he went down there. You know he has the mirror, the whole thing.
He was doing vocal warm-ups. Yeah, he was...
Oh, and the little girl running it?
Yeah.
She was just getting bent out of shape when any of us got up there.
I think I can't go back there after the end. Did you talk about the end yet when I got up there and sang Wonder Boy from...
you and our listener,
Slinky.
Critical Slinky.
He's like my new best friend.
Slinky's awesome.
He's great.
He was up there interpretive dancing that song with you as well.
Into it, man. I don't know who I was talking to, but I was you know, I was like, of all the people here to sing that song, it's Critical Slinky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's his song.
Funny guy.
He owned it.
Then I took the microphone at the end and threw it on the stage.
He like tossed it. Like,
and then the woman
spent. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. It was like an Elvis thing. Like, I'm out of here, ladies. Thank you.
After you left, Shu and I got up and sang a song that was all about her.
Yeah.
And how she was being a bitch to all of us for having a good time, and the only karaoke people that she liked were the ones who, you know, were singing Whitney Houston like it was the like they were on American Idol.
That's so true. Those songs people were singing was just like, what? Why are you singing that song?
Yeah,
and it looked like all the people that she invited.
Yeah,
that's the most annoying thing when people do karaoke, but they do it seriously. Like
exactly, what a ridiculous
it's karaoke.
Way to live your
life. I don't
care
if they do it seriously, but they were really looking at us funny when you know, when Schumann was up there, that was a good job up there, Shu.
If we walk in there again, it's going to be like,
Sam.
Oh no, here they come again.
It's got to be a big crew again, too.
Yeah.
We could do it.
No, you know what? That's a night that will never be recreated. I say we don't even go back, because that just was done. A good time.
We should take this party somewhere else. And just every time we see karaoke night, we go there, we ruin the entire evening, we take over, we drink their beer, we sleep with their women. We break the equipment, and then we get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I agree with you. It should be our Friday night event.
Sounds like Sean's still on that roll, man.
That's right.
I want to hurt people and things.
Gosh.
Yeah. I did exactly the opposite last night. I went to my niece's high school play.
Really?
Whoa. Woo! Yeah. Sleeperville.
Is that right?
Hey, I wasn't doing anything. You could have.
How old are these people?
She's in eighth grade. Oh, they did High School Musical, which is very popular right now, I guess, with the kids. And it was all there. It looked great, but the sound was awful, and it took more time to switch the staging around than to actually do the play. I brought my son down, Ian, with me.
Yeah,
and
Ian's a good kid.
Steph was with me, and we had to bail out of there because he thought he was in an alternate universe. It reminded me when I was 5 years old in Germany, and my parents went and took me to an army base to watch 2001 Space Odyssey, and I felt like I was creepy. In there for 5 days. He probably had the same experience. So we left and went to a pub, had food, came back. The play was still going on. We're like, good God.
And then you told your niece, oh, it's fantastic.
Exactly.
I didn't miss
it.
Didn't miss any of it.
Parents, you should be very proud.
So what you have to look forward to, someday it'll be your boy.
That's
up
what
there.
My brothers always say. They say, hey, gotta look forward to this. Look forward to this. I was like, shut your mouth. I had a good time. It was fun.
All right, well, that's good. Yeah, we went out to Schumann's show last night, so we basically repeated the night before. It was a little mellow, tasty. You were with us last night. We kind of just mellow, looking at cleavage all night. It was one of those.
And booty.
Kind of things.
Yeah.
And the sound was terrible.
Yeah, and some girls.
Cold Hot Crash was awful. They sounded terrible.
Got to have an off night once in a while.
Well, it wasn't their fault. It was the sound guy's fault.
Sure it was. Yeah.
Actually.
Fire him.
That's a running theme.
Should have got that chick from the karaoke bar.
It was really loud.
Yeah. Let her run the sound.
Yeah, that's true. She'd have done a good job. She takes it seriously. All right, let me make sure I get some announcements out here, and we'll move things on. As I said, Bill Brand, beer journalist extraordinaire, is with us today. You can go to beernewsletter.com. Is that right?
Yes, that
and you can
correct.
Check out some of Bill's work there, and you've got a blog there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be using that for the interview a little bit later, because you got a couple of interesting things. Actually, I wanted to talk about that even in this first segment. We'll get to it in a second, but you were commenting on the Forbes listed the top 10 brew pubs in the country. I wanted us to discuss that. I'll read that list in just a second. In the store, you can get the John Palmer and Jamil Zainashef Brewing Classic Styles, along with How to Brew, both signed right now. You should go and do that. AHA memberships. I know you've heard us talking about this. If you're not a member of the American Homebrewers Association, you should be, and you can buy the membership from our store right now, and it helps us, and it's a great thing. I was just reading through this month's Zymergy, and it's a really good issue. I like that magazine more every time I read it. Like when I got to be honest, when I first got Zymergy a couple years ago,
it's kind of over your head.
Yeah, it didn't really do it for me. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes.
It was a little too technical.
What's a carboy? I don't understand.
Now I love it. It's really a great magazine. So you get that plus.
The format's changed a little bit too, so it's a little more user friendly.
You get pub discounts. There's a discount at your pub, right, Sully?
Yeah.
At the 2NA if you bring your membership card. So.
What if we just bring a copy of Zymergy?
No, you can't do that. We had one guy show up with his membership card and wanted to buy his entire, like, his group with him, like 17 people.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah, you can't do that. It's just you. You're the guy with the card. You get the beer.
Yeah, don't be a jerk about it. Come on.
And made a big deal out of it, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your discount?
I think they get a happy hour beer price anytime.
So. Anytime.
So you save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
You save a few bucks.
No, it's cool. I mean, if you drink as much as I do, you pay for your membership in a night. With that, discount.
But you don't pay for beer, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. When was the last time you played for beer at my place?
They won't.
Or
I
anywhere
try.
Else, for that
I
matters.
Even try to pay. I don't know if you made a mandate or something, but I go in there, and they won't even allow me. And a lot of it is Lloyd. Lloyd's like, no, you're not allowed.
Yeah, well, we see your bank account.
You know.
Access to that.
See, Sully's he's my biggest supporter because he knows that I will like end up homeless if he doesn't buy me beer.
We're running a Justin Social program.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The services are fantastic.
Glad to help.
So go to our store and get your AHA membership. It'll really go a long way for both of us. And, of course, we have shirts and hats available in there. And show ideas should be going to Chad at thebrewingnetwork.com. All show ideas go to him, who, by the way, is brewing today. He's out there brewing right now.
Here? Today?
And yeah. Not getting us beer.
You can smell the sweet wort.
Yes. Oh, I thought that was Bill.
No. Yeah. Bill smells like sweet wort.
Yes, indeed.
So, Shat will be around here later. And also, later on in the show, we have a special guest musical performance coming in. A emerging artist is going to do his world premiere on our program later on in the show. And... You're not going to want to miss this.
It's promising.
Yeah, you're really not going to want to miss this. It's going to be fantastic. So stick around with us for that. So before I get to feedback, I wanted to read this list, and it's on Bill Brand's blog, beardnewsletter.com/blog. And first of all, I don't know why Forbes is listing the best
they like top 10 lists.
They
top
do.
50
they do
lists.
A lot. And they have this online thing. They're trying to be hip and cool or whatever it is currently. Yeah.
Sounds like they have a little OCD there.
Because, you know, hip and cool goes right along with Forbes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a list. They have to make lists of everything.
So let me read you the list. Number one, America's top pubs, according to Forbes. Number one, Blind Tiger Ale House, which is in New York, New York City.
Been there? What do you think, John?
You know, I've never been there, but I had beers with those guys, or actually tequila with those guys last week at the Slow Food thing.
Is that right?
And then I didn't even know who they were, and we were hanging out having dinner with Dave Keene from the Toronado.
They're on the list. You should know.
Yeah, they told me that after the fact.
They're big time.
They're good guys.
Okay. They're number one, Brick Skeller in Washington. Number two, another place that you hear a lot about.
Yeah.
I've never been, but it's on everybody's list,
yeah,
I think.
I've never been either, but it's amazing. Everybody's told me that. I've heard so many stories. My God.
Yeah. It's one of those places that, you know, it takes you a half an hour to read through the bottle list before you decide on what you want.
Big list.
My wife was planning a kind of a trip to take the kids to D.C. when they're a little older, and I agreed to it right away, and she said, why?
She should know by now.
And I told her, and she just gave me that look.
Because I like the George Washington Monument.
Yeah. Sully, you been there to Brick Skeller?
I think I was there a long time ago before I got into beer.
Okay.
But I don't remember.
No, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm old.
Things were still in black and white. Number three, Public House and Monk's Cell. In Brookline, Mass.
I just visited it Monday. And
really?
Yeah, it's great.
Is it?
Yeah. So I don't know whether it's the greatest pub in America or anything, but it was wonderful.
Okay.
You know, they have a Belgian list that's just so deep. It's very good.
Really?
Yeah, I actually got Old Goose.
Oh.
I had that with mussels and french fries. I was in heaven.
I bet.
That good.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you there for?
Oh, I went to help judge a contest at Sam Adams. So.
Was that their local long shot deal?
No, that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
And I've judged that one as well.
Okay.
I missed Mike McDowell's one because I had surgery that day. But I hope to be on the next one. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's difficult. It's hard. All good beers.
You know, I saw the commercial for the long shot. Sam Adams' Long Shot has a commercial out right now.
I saw that too.
And I was really disappointed.
Yes.
I was like, they were showing the people that won, and then they showed their labor, their beer label.
And Tasty.
I know. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah. I got to say, imagine your face on a commercial, Tasty.
Next year.
I am concerned that they're not going to put you in the commercial next year. I'm concerned you're going to be old news.
Yeah. Trust me, they will. They're hot for his beer.
All right.
They really
you
are,
better be in the commercial, or I'm going to go down there myself and do some talking.
Oh, that'll do a lot.
It will.
They won't suffer the wrath of the BN if they don't put Tasty in there. What are you kidding me? We're his crew.
That's right. We're his posse.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Number four, Brower's Cafe in Seattle.
Yeah, that's good a
good spot.
That's a good place.
You've been there, right, JP?
Yeah. I've been there.
Right next to the bus stop?
They let you in once.
It's not next to the bus stop, but
what's special about Brower's?
Pretty close. They have a great bottle selection, a great selection on tap. They have steamed mussels and a lot of food.
I see a theme here.
And,
the mussel theme.
It's a Belgian thing, apparently.
It's part of getting on the top 10 list. You got to have steamed mussels, apparently.
But I really like the architecture. It has this circular thing. There's a lot of wrought iron in the thing, but there's a skylight.
Okay.
So you're sitting in the middle eating, and then there's a lot of natural light coming in. And I don't know what it was about that. It was just it's really nice, a really cool place.
Like an atrium of sorts.
Something like that, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, they have a great walk-in. It's like the bottles are all lined up. Last time I was there, I saw Michael Jackson there, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think I was there with you, because I saw him last time I was there.
The little boy Jackson or Ryder Jackson?
Both.
This is a goddamn beer program. What do you think it is?
I like both Jacksons.
I saw Michael Jackson A touching Michael Jackson B.
Really?
So, yeah. I didn't want to say anything about it.
Brick Store Pub in Decatur, Georgia. Never heard of
it. No clue what that is. I don't even know the name.
And I don't know that anybody thinks of Decatur, Georgia as a beer mecca, but
yeah.
I guess all
Decatur
it takes
was
is
in Georgia.
I guess it's legal now.
It's in the dirty south.
Great,
I should know that though.
Great Lost Bear in Portland, Maine. Another one I've not heard of.
It's a destination town.
It's number 6.
It sounds like more of a World of Warcraft item than a bar.
Number 7, and so far the only one I've been to, and I definitely say it belongs in the top 10, if not the top 5, Falling Rock Tap House in Denver.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Easily.
I got to give it a thumbs up.
If any beer guy goes into Falling Rock and doesn't walk out thinking it is one of the best beer bars in the country, you're not a beer guy.
At least, and if you go in there and you go, I'd rather be at the Great Elder Paw of the Bear in Decatur.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't do that.
No.
So
mainly
I think everyone agrees with that.
South.
In agreement.
Number 8, I have been to this one. Don't know if it's in the top 10. Spoiten Duyvel in Brooklyn, New York.
Spoiten Duyvel.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Spoiten Duyvel.
Yes.
Not Spoiten Duyvel.
Spoiten Duyvel. Hey, you want to go to Spoiten Duyvel, Justin?
Yeah, I like that one. It's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yes.
You been to that one, Bill?
No, I have not. I'll
tell you what I like about it. It's a hole in the wall. Tiny little place.
Didn't even let you in.
Little stinky. All the things I like about a good bar, you know. Very, very small.
Stinky.
I got in trouble there for filming. That was when we were doing our East Coast filming.
Probably got mob bosses in the back.
Well, the bartender was just kind of a dick. He kept thinking we were filming him directly, but we weren't. We were filming like beer being poured and things like that. And finally, we convinced him. Listen, I promise you, I'm not putting you on YouTube or anything else, and it's not even your face. You will not find your face in this camera. And then he was fine. Good beer selection. I had my first.
Reach around.
Fufoon.
Oh, sorry.
I had Cantillon Fufoon, which is one of the sourest beers I've ever had.
True.
A goose, and it was beautiful. Don't know if the bar belongs in the top 10. Anybody else been there?
I have. I was there when I was back in New York for Dave McLean's bachelor party, and Dave's a big foodie, and he had like this 3-page list of every place he wanted to go to in New York. And we were out there, and there's actually a great barbecue place across the street owned by the same people.
Ah.
But we were there. The power was out, so we were just... We were drinking bottled beer. It was great. It was
perfect. In the dark.
In the dark with candles.
Oh.
You know, perfect bachelor party. A bunch of guys sitting around in the dark.
Oh.
With each other.
With nice. Candles.
Warm beer.
Number 9, Toronado, San Francisco.
No.
Well, I knew I knew JP'd have a little something to say about
Boo.
That.
Boo.
I got to say, it's got to be one of the best beer bars in the country.
I certainly wouldn't put it number 9. That's for
no.
sure.
No. You'd put it higher.
Yes.
Above Decatur.
No, I know. Yeah, at least certainly above Decatur, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, had just in his back room there, he has stuff that you don't even know about until you ask him.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, I think we have 2 bottles of that.
Exactly.
Come out with it, you know?
Exactly. He'll always surprise you with things like that. And just the selection, so...
No, it's easily in the top 10.
What do you, Doc, would you put in the top 10?
Top 5.
Top 5.
Yeah. The only thing that I got to agree with JP about...
That's me.
Is the slight rudeness of the servers.
Yeah. Slight?
I've never encountered
I'm being nice.
No. Might as well punch you in the face than ask you what you want. I'm going to go spit on your mom's grave. Can I give you something?
I said something to one of them once, and it was being nice about... them just avoiding me.
Yeah.
And I got back talk. Just,
really?
Just like, in my face. It's like, okay.
Look, see, listen. I'm sorry your daddy didn't love you, but I'm paying your salary right now. Be nice to me.
I've just gotten Dave Keen to start speaking to me face to face, and here we go again.
We're going to rip on that. It's taken like 2 years.
It's taken me 2 years to get Dave Keen
to shake
my hand and have a personal conversation with me. Well, and now,
if he can't take criticism, then he shouldn't be in the public eye. Sorry,
I'm a business owner, and I'd like to know about what I don't see that my employees are doing.
Yeah,
and it's That's just the
way. But whatever it is. Goes on there, and however you react to it, it's working because they're in this list and they're open and they've been for.
I also think it adds to the mystique.
Oh, yeah,
you know, getting abused a little bit. Well, I don't mind it.
You go down to get the Irish coffee down Fisherman's Wharf, and they're notoriously rude.
Yeah,
so you might as well.
It's part of the shtick.
It's part of this. It's part of the whole thing. So.
All right, at number 10, Hop Leaf Bar in Chicago.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah?
Yeah. I never would thought of a top 10. It's very nice. But, you know, I just...
Yeah.
There's two or three or four others that I've been to also, but...
Yeah.
I thought it was... Yeah.
You have the Map Room in Chicago, which always gets sort of...
That, right.
I've heard of that one.
Or, like, Monk's Cafe, I think, should be in there at least.
In Philadelphia. I totally agree.
Easily.
Mm. Yeah, you wonder why that wasn't in there. Yeah. That's got to be one of the better ones.
It's a great place.
Yeah. I'm curious how the list was compiled.
It sounds like if you have more than 10 Belgian beers on tap, you're a great
bar.
You're
one of the best
bars. I'm not complaining about it, but I like suddenly it's the last couple years. It's if you have Belgians, you're the place to be. What about all the other beer in the whole entire world? Why does it always have to be? I mean, Belgian beers are getting more distributors, so it's easier to find.
Right.
Why is it suddenly that makes a good beer bar?
I don't know. It's the trendy thing, and that's I think you're. I would. I am curious how the list was compiled, and if it really
it seems
is
like
just
it was
based
compiled
on
compiled regionally.
Yeah.
Mainly on the East Coast.
Very East Coast centric. In New York. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, most writing is West Coast centric when it comes to beer, so I guess we can give them a little bit over there in the East.
Right, you're too forgiving today. I don't really like you right now.
You think so?
He's just trying to move the show along.
Oh, the tornado, it's okay. And then, no, that's forgiving. It's fine.
I know. You know why? It's because I was an asshole all day yesterday. So today I'm trying to lighten
up.
And
the night before.
Yeah, and the night before, too. I'm trying to lighten up. All right.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick it.
Let's do some feedback. Disco style. So I got some emails this week that I had to choose not to read.
Why?
They're too long and had big words?
Yeah. There was that. Now, you know how we get these angry emails that are like from angry Chad or angry McDole? You know, it's whoever it is writing in as this person. So I got one from angry other podcasters.
Angry abused Bevo's kidneys?
But it's one of those things where they were just...
Shut up.
Angry Bevo's kidneys wrote in this week. Leave me alone.
I hate Sam.
Sammy the kidney knicker.
But sometimes you guys you try too hard to be funny in your angriness, and it just wasn't funny. It was just this long, like, cursing, non-funny email. So I omitted it.
Don't read that one.
I won't read that one.
Don't read that one.
I did get one from Shat's Penis.
Whoa!
Wrote to us this week.
Whoa, where is he? He's not here.
He's out stirring the wort.
Yeah. Would it say, wash me, I smell?
I feel awkward being vulgar in front of my beer-writing hero. Am I allowed to be vulgar, Bill?
You are,
all right, good. All right, Bill gives permission. I'll carry on as normal.
I like how you feel funny about being vulgar in front of him, but not...
But you?
But not me.
I wonder about that.
I feel funny not being vulgar in front of you,
Bevo.
That's
a good point.
Okay, this is actually from Shat's Penis to Shat. Shat, this is your pecker talking. Look, pal, we need to get a few things out in the open here. These 3 a.m. drunken 17 and a half second merrymaking huffing grunt fests have to stop. I'm getting sick of you waking me up at that time of night. I need to get my sleep. If I don't know how I'm going to wake you, if I don't, how am I going to wake you up in the morning with wood?
Oh, gross.
You've been stuffing me into a $3 gutter slut lately, and I'm about to give you the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And then, in regards to our service port idea last week, where Jamil said he should just put in a drive-through window, he says, service port, what? If you poke me through to this crazy bitch, she's likely to show you the other end of me. Do you really want to have to sit when you pee? I'm sick of you. It gets bad from here. I can't even keep reading all of it. He starts talking about all the diseases that she has, and... Yeah, I can't finish that sentence. It makes me uncomfortable even. anyway, he ends up saying, you need to take better care of me. How I long for the heady days of doing solo push-ups until I puke. Sincerely, your friend...
He said head.
The Shat Stick. So, Shat better be nice. Is he here? Is he still outside?
I think he's brewing.
All right. A couple bits of feedback here. Hey, Justin, two things of feedback. First, I'm really enjoying the shows so far this year. I have to admit, you guys really seemed to slump in 2007 toward the end of the year.
Oh.
And it seemed like you guys had lost a bit of drive and enthusiasm for the show, which did come across in the final product. I think some new life must have been injected into everyone, and the shows of 2008 have been better so far. Keep it up. I was thinking twice about donating last year. I was simply not enjoying the shows as much. But with the recent change, I am now a monthly donor. And he's a corporal in the Army. Did we really? Was it that bad?
I didn't think so. Maybe this guy just lost his funny edge.
No, there were a couple people who have said that. Jameel said it, too.
Yeah, it was bad.
Sully agrees?
I'm just piling on.
Did we have a rough spot, Doc?
I didn't think so, but, you know,
he doesn't listen to the shows afterwards.
Yeah, what do we know? Yeah.
How was that? How was the poll show not a great piece of entertainment?
Yeah, that's true. But that was our very last show. I mean, maybe that's where we turned things around. Maybe it was the stripper poll that actually got us back on track.
Yeah, maybe.
Second bit of feedback, he says, is to bring Homer back. I listened to the archive with Homer from Oak Barrel for the second or third time this week, and it's easily one of the best shows and interviews you guys have done. So yeah, I just really wants another Homer show so we can get stories about the old days and maybe even a little wine stuff in there. Keep up the good work. That's from Jason Farley in Tennessee.
Farley.
Everyone has said that about the Homer show too. People really like Homer. So I think we will have to rebook.
How do you not like Homer?
Man. Yeah, he's just a cool guy. Got good stories. Here is a good note. Hey, Justin, wanted to drop a line and let you know the BN had some good representation in the recent 15th annual Peach State Brew-Off competition in Atlanta. I and a buddy of mine entered some beers, and since we don't have a club yet, we decided to put the BN as our club. And between the two of them, they took home 6 ribbons and got the Brewing Network 16 club points.
Whoa! All right!
How about that?
So, all right. Sounds like we have 16 club points.
Yeah, I think so. Congratulations, my friend. Let's see. One of them was a Scottish 60 that was from Jameel's recipe. People doing good with Jameel's recipes so far this year. Telling you, it's going to change the state of competitions as we know it. So he was just saying thanks. He says, I used to think that you guys were just asshats that made my commute more tolerable. But the other day, I caught myself using the term vigorously at work.
Uh-oh. How did that come up?
And when I got home, the wife was singing the Beer Run song. So I guess we're kind of infiltrating his whole life.
That is a good point. I work in a place where you could probably say vigorously and get away with it, you know, but...
Where else?
Yeah, where else are you going to, you know, unless you cook for a living or you're in the porn industry?
Good question. I don't know. Or both. Hey, Justin and BN crew. Want to say thanks for having Chris LaPierre on the show. I am originally from Pennsylvania and now live in Monterey, California, and it was nice to hear a little bit of home. It was also nice to hear directly from the guy who single-handedly is depleting my inheritance. My parents are big fans of Iron Hill Brewery, and they go to all the beer dinners and special events and spend all their money there. But he says not only is the beer great, the food's outstanding, so that we should go to Iron Hill if we make it. Chris LaPierre saved our ass that week because we had a cancellation, and he did the show last minute, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback from it. So, again, thanks, Chris, for doing the show from Iron Hill. And that's Matt from Monterey. Justin, you tree-hugging, dirt-worshipping, beer-soaked, carpet-slugging, sucking the blood out of my still-beating heart while I watch you non-brewing mindless bitch.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Take a breath.
Wow.
How about that?
I'm impressed.
I don't even have to read the rest of it. That was the best part of the whole email.
I didn't even think your parents wrote in anymore.
No, they don't. They're back in action, I guess. He just writes about a tough brew day, and it's pretty much your fault, Doc.
Oh, yeah?
He says everything was going swell until I got lost in one of Dr. Scott's lessons and totally effed up my step mash times. Couldn't get anything right. Went to Whirlpool, Jameel style, until 2 ounces of leaf hops clogged his pump. And anyway, it just went on and on and on. He says, tell Doc I blame him. And
I brewed yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you brew?
The big system.
Really? Is that, not even at home?
No, it was at work. I went in and brewed. First time in a while.
Just for fun?
Yeah. I wanted to brew a rye beer. And it was great. It went fantastic.
So is there rye IPA?
Rye malt. Yeah, it's a little bit on the maltier side. It's about 50 IBUs. I'm looking at it probably 6.5% alcohol. It started around 15, 8.
Okay.
It was great.
There he goes inventing again.
Yeah.
It was like creating the whole time.
Nice. So you enjoyed it. You enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, the funny thing is when we were out the other night, I was asking Jay-Z about how much rye I should add.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, we're kind of drinking and getting kind of hammered, and I asked him, and he didn't really answer me at first, and he came up to me and was like, 20%! Add 20%!
20!
You got to add... I just add 12, though, so, you know.
I don't like rye, so I'm glad you went. I'm glad you went sparingly. It just gets too spicy, you know.
That's what everybody says. I think it actually produces a dry beer, and everybody thinks does, of rye bread, and they add what's the one herb or
caraway
seeds to it. So that's what people think of when they think of rye beer or rye
caraway beer.
Yeah, caraway beer. So I think it's going to be nice.
Okay, when's it going to be done?
It's done right
tomorrow.
It's done right now. That's how we do it there. Just flip the switch and it's out. Isn't that what you do?
We have mega yeast.
Probably 2 weeks.
All right. We'll have to go
I don't have a name yet, so.
You don't?
Yeah.
How about maybe the 2-1-A rye beer?
Maybe we should do a BN listener name contest.
I'll do that, but I reserve the right not to use it.
Of course.
I'll do that.
Of course.
No, you're going to pick it.
Well, I'll pick it, but if I don't like any of them. You know, if somebody, you know, if all of them say, like, you know, Sean's raunchy red rye bleh.
Well, that'll sell.
Yeah, that'll sell, yeah.
All right, send your beer names to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com for the chance to possibly name Sully's 2-1-A rye beer.
Is there a show next week?
I think so.
So you could probably, you know, have them send them in this week, and then that beer will be on in a couple weeks. That'll give me enough time.
Okay. That's not you guys, don't worry.
Usually Sully.
I have to re-cable my whole studio.
That's going
to
happen.
It's falling apart. It has to happen. It's falling apart. Every day I replace a new cable, and it's getting...
One at a time.
This has been going on for a while, Doc, the equipment we have in here. Think about how long we've been doing shows in this cesspool a studio.
At least a year.
And it gets no maintenance.
Exactly, because that requires cash.
Yeah. So... And time and forethought.
Yeah. And a willingness to perform mediocrity. Yeah.
All of which we are lacking except for the last bit there. We have that.
Because that's how it is.
All right. So, yeah, I got to do this. So if you have weird sound issues today, well, I don't know, hit the donate button. And
blame Bevo.
I can re-outfit the studio.
It's my fault.
It's Bevo's fault.
All right. As always, 888-401-BEER. That's our phone number. Bevo's taking your phone calls today. Back in the chat room, happily helping out. And you can enter the chat room by hitting the chat now button. Just type in a name. Any name will do. And you can send questions for Bill Brand, who's in the studio with us today. And excited to have him here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start figuring out this whole beer journalism thing and how it works. Because I want to know the successful part of it, Bill.
That's the short part.
Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP001, Cal Ale, baby.
23, Burton Ale.
008, East Coast Ale.
Cal Common, WLP810.
It's going to be WLP400 with beer.
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
The malted liquor, what gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Cut my belly out to here.
Beer!
I could not refuse a
beer!
I could really use a beer.
Beer, beer,
beer, beer, beer, beer, beer, beer, beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.
That's my son, the drunken manly stud. I'm proud to be his bud.
Here, have some pretzels.
No, I'll call it quits. Those things give me the schlitz.
Drink with your family. Drink it with your friends. Drink till your fat stomach distends. Beer is liquid.
liquid bread, it's good for you. We like to drink till we spew. Ooh, who cares if we get fat? I'll drink to that. As we sing once more, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I can kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
Golly, I adore it.
Beer.
Come on, damn it, pour it. Do it for me. Brew it for me. Feed it to me. Speed it to me.
Beer.
The most wonderful drink in the world. Hooray!
Valley Brewing Company is Stockton's premier microbrewery and family restaurant in the heart of Stockton, California, just off the Miracle Mile. Brewmaster Steve Altamari crafts a full array of award-winning ales and specialty beers, from their Hitman Gold American Pale Ale to their Black Cat Stout, or any one of their monthly specialty brews, like Valley's Uber Hoppy Imperial IPA. And the best part is, you can now purchase kegs of Valley Brew to take with you from their all-new 30-barrel brewery, now open in Stockton. So pick up a keg and get a taste of one of California's oldest brewing traditions. To find out more about Valley Brewing's historic past, their selection of beers, or family-friendly restaurant, visit them online at valleybrew.com. Or stop by and sample the beer at 157 West Adams Street in Stockton, California, where pitchers are just $5 all day on Sundays.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to The Brewing Network.
The Brewing Network. Saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Very nice. I had to wait for it. I can never start when you're here.
I appreciate that.
Just to wait.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. We are here at another Sunday session and a topic near and dear to my heart, a little bit of beer journalism today with Bill Brand hanging out with us, and I'm glad that you could make it, Bill, once again. 888-401-BEER. If you got any questions, Bevo will take your phone calls, or you can enter the chat room and send your questions along that way. So I want to start a little bit with your history as a writer, too, and I think maybe you can help me understand this whole kind of beer journalism growth that we've seen recently. I got to say, I was reading your column, What's on Tap, when I was still a bartender before we started this whole thing. I was kind of even just starting to plan it. And I would read, every time your column came out, I would read it. And I thought it was fascinating that there were people in the media doing what I wanted to be doing. And I was new to this whole craft beer thing. I had been a drinker for a while, but hadn't really immersed myself in the professional side yet. So I was surprised to find there are people doing this professionally. So how long have you been doing beer journalism?
Well, actually, I started, way back. I've been a reporter at the Oakland Tribune since 1982.
Okay. So you didn't start as a beer guy?
No.
Okay.
But before that, I was a freelancer, and I lived in Mexico in the 70s. I came back here, and all of a sudden there was all this beer. There was everybody remembers New Albion, but I also remember Michael DeBacker, which I thought his beer was just stunning.
Okay.
And then Anchor, of course. And by then, about the time I came back, Anchor came out with Liberty Ale. And I just love it. And then all of a sudden, all these people everywhere were trying to start little breweries, including a guy in Berkeley, where I lived, who applied the city council permission to put a brewery in his basement, a commercial brewery.
Oh, is that right?
Called Thousand Oaks. He got permission. It took him a year and a half. And I got fascinated with it. And I'd home brewed, but, you know, only just extracts. And I always, as soon as I moved to the West Coast, I found Anchor. I realized I didn't have to brew beer anymore.
Yeah, that's
not that simple.
Where were you before?
Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the beer scene they have now, I assume?
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
They had nothing. They had mountain climbers and rafters and,
okay,
you know, but they had no beer.
Coors drinkers.
Yeah, Coors drinkers. Total.
Yeah.
And I have drunk a lot of Coors in my life.
So has Sully.
It's like drinking water.
But still do.
Yes. I what did I used to think? God, I used to sit there and drink 8, 9, 10 pints, you know?
Sure.
And walk home. And I'm not a heavy drinker, but Coors 3-2, it was easy.
You could, yeah.
But anyway, I got out here. And so I got interested. And so I wound up writing a column for San Francisco Magazine.
Okay.
And it took me a long time to convince them about beer. I was trying to freelance. I was writing about all kinds of things. And so I did two columns, and they went bankrupt. But and then I got hired by the Tribune.
Well, it wasn't your fault, I hope.
No. No, in fact, I went to Buffalo Bills and to Mendocino on the time they both opened. And actually, Mendocino Brewing did open first, but Bill Owens won't ever admit that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's always that big war of first in California. Silly.
Do they like each other? Is it a friendly rivalry?
I'd say so. I mean, if you know Bill Owens, he's...
We should have them both on the show at the same time.
Yeah, you could probably get Don Barkley.
We have this discussion with them.
Anyway, then I got an actual paying job at the Oakland Tribune.
Okay.
And about 2 or 3 years later, the features editor came in. It was this guy from the Washington Post that came out to California, right? And so he said, I know you know something about beer. So they had me write an article, and they, you know, just what is beer? What is a lager? What is an ale? I mean, the basics
for you. Okay.
Oh, beyond basics. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Really?
Well, is an ale dark or is an ale light? Like that.
Okay.
But I did one story and a couple others, and I started the column. I started a weekly column in 1988.
Okay.
Yeah, and I look back and I laugh. Some of the things
really?
I wrote.
When you read it now?
Oh, yeah.
And just because did it seem naive?
I didn't know as much.
Okay.
I just didn't know. And, we were in awe of things. Like, I remember interviewing the brewmaster from Bass about how to pour a glass of beer, things like that.
Okay.
And, yeah. But Michael Jackson also came by. Saint.
He was doing this beforehand.
Oh, yeah. So, from the 70s.
Okay. And, so you had read his stuff.
Oh, that's how I have his first copy that was published in the U.S. in 77. It's like dog-eared. I wore it out. Everywhere I'd go, I'd look, and then I'd go to that place.
Right.
And so he came on a tour, must have been in about 88, and he came in with a six-pack of beer, but they were all like magnums.
Oh, really?
Well, we sat there, and we drank a lot of them. And it was like that. He was amazing. Funny, funny man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wish I could have got to know him.
So anyway, I was doing my column, just on the side, being a reporter, I cover, in those days, I covered Mayhem mostly. First I covered Berkeley, then I covered Mayhem, murder in the streets, that sort of stuff.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You wanted to, or because that's what they stuck you with?
Cool.
Okay.
Oh,
that's fun, isn't it?
You're just out there chasing down these crazy stories.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bloody job.
Bloody job it was, but we used to have a good time at it. It kind of took you away from your regular life.
Yeah.
Was it a lot like Kolchak the Night Stalker?
No, you know, as reporters, the thing is that whoever it is dead, right? So you come later, and they have big police tape around.
Yeah.
And if you're friends with the cops, you can get in and get all the stuff.
Yeah, but that interview's rough.
Which is a Tribune. We did well with Oakland PD and Berkeley also.
Did you just bring them beer and they let you pass the caution tape?
I had a couple cops. I never had to do that. A bunch of cops are readers. And my brother was a cop, Oakland cop, on top of it. So
okay.
That made it kind of easy.
Okay.
But they realized I wasn't a bad guy, so to speak.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I ran the column from 88 to 92, and then we were bought out by this mega corporation, and they hired a editor who was a reformed alcoholic. And the only reason that I went to work for them is that they keep my beer column. So they had the first one written, and I did a thing on Anchor from the earthquake. You know, the thing with Anchor Steam, when they were brewing their beer, the earthquake happened, everybody just left and went home. And about the middle of the night, a couple of the brewers realized, oh my God, what about the beer? So they went back, it was still in the kettle.
And was it still burning too?
Yeah, it was just all the power was out. Yeah.
So
it would just sit there in the kettle, about maybe halfway through the boil, I guess.
Okay.
They went ahead and did it, but they thought it didn't taste right.
Uh-huh.
So they bottled it, but they put the labels upside down. And it was just around, they just sold it in the Bay Area, nowhere else.
Okay.
And I have a couple in my fridge.
They're
classics. So that's the story I wrote for my opening edition of with the new owners. He ripped it off the page on the floor. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so then we had a 3-year argument about whether or not there should be a beer column in our paper, or any paper.
Really?
Yeah, arguing the cost. They
finally fired.
They fired him, and the features editor called me up an hour later and said, "You want to start your beer column again?"
Oh, great! So everybody wanted it except for this quitter.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. He just liked sports, and he was a character.
Okay,
but beer columns he did not like.
Now, was your column
a good name for him?
Was it always What's on Tap?
Yeah, one of the people in the features department at the Oakland Tribune way back. What are you going to call it? I said, I don't know.
No idea.
What's on tap? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that simple. And we just went with that.
So you're doing your regular sort of beat writing, and this is just kind of a feature, something that's fun for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're putting it, and it's only in the Oakland Tribune at this time?
Well, no, now. Oh, no, no, God, no. Now I'm in every newspaper in the Bay Area except the Chronicle.
Now you are. But back then, it was just... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I noticed, too, is as I'm reading your article now, I can never tell who the hell you work for, because you are in several news... Are you freelance, or do you work...
Okay. No, it's this one guy named Dean Singleton. He has a corporation called Media News Group, and he owns, well, third or fourth largest media company in the country.
Okay.
And so he has lots and lots and lots of papers. That column will pop up anywhere.
Really?
Yeah, I was on the net yesterday, and there was one at Chico Enterprise. There I was. I've seen it in Denver. I've seen it everywhere. So he owns the Denver Post.
Okay.
Does he want to buy a podcast?
So how does...
Don't laugh. I'm going to pitch it to him.
All right. Now we're talking.
The show just got longer.
Yes. Yeah.
Get him another beer.
Well, how does that work? Does he essentially... I mean, you write the column, and he's allowed to then to put it wherever he wants?
Yeah, the way it works is it goes anywhere in the chain, you know.
So. Okay. So as long as he owns it, it can go there. Okay.
Something I haven't...
Yeah, I'll get phone calls when you've written about me a few times, and there's another check coming, don't worry. people will call me up, and I read about you in this paper, and I'm like, what, where?
Yeah. I know. It's bizarre. It's because people living in San Francisco just are zeroed in on the Chronicle if they read a paper at all, and probably they don't. But, we have every other paper. He owns every other paper in the Bay Area. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, all of them. He circles them.
He's like our local Rupert Murdoch, this guy.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know whether he wants that comparison, but...
I'll take it back then.
Yeah, whatever.
At least until we figure out this whole podcast thing.
Yeah. Arrangement.
If he's going to pass, then by gum, he'll be a rubber miller.
Yeah.
A breaker.
Yeah. So when did you transition... do you just do beer writing now?
No, what's happened is the internet happened.
Okay.
And, I was kind of hooked on it from way back on CompuServe. There used to be this great beer... What would you call a chat room now?
Almost like if it was a forum.
News group?
It was like a
news group.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sully.
And all these people are, today, we're all on there, from way back.
Alt.cheerleader.board.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
I like that one.
That's the one I started.
Especially the board one.
So I got this, I watched all these blogs happening. So about 4 years ago, I was going to the Great American Beer Festival in Denver. So I thought, I'll start a blog.
Okay.
And so I asked my editor, what's a blog? It was about like that.
But yeah.
I just started on my own.
I know some journalists who thought, they see blog, they hear the word blog, and they instantly, I don't know if it was that they felt threatened by it, but just kind of thought, hey, a blog is really amateurs coming in and pretending that they're journalists and writing. So, but you embraced it as a new...
Oh, God, yes. You could see it was great. The stuff, the column you have, 500 words or 800 words, that's it.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Right.
So it's great.
I think it's how a lot of authors look at Dan Brown, They go, blogs, they'll never be as good as, trained journalists and trained, whatever, but...
like podcasters will never be as good as FM radio DJs.
Which is why we don't podcast.
Right.
We broadcast.
That's right.
Webcast.
So is that where... That's where beernewsletter.com was born?
Yes. Actually, way back when I got... My column got canned in 92. Me and two other people started a newsletter, an actual printed newsletter. And we wound up with like 125 subscribers.
Wow.
So I just picked up the name when I came back to my column. I picked it back. The newsletter was nobody wanted to pay $75 a month to read about beer, basically.
Right.
A few people, crazy people, that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with that also.
Yeah, I bet you are. Yeah. My advice is hang in, and this is This will work.
All right. We're going to stick it out then, just because Bill said so.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, we're going after you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Every nickel.
Now, did you ever think that you would start one of the, like, Gold a Nichols. Celebrator magazine? Did you ever think you'd
no,
go?
No, I'm not a publisher. I don't like my picture places.
Okay.
Why is that? What's wrong with that?
You're saying you have a face for radio, Bill? Is
yeah,
that
face for radio. Yeah, there you go.
Face for a blog.
Yeah.
I'm always like to be the person behind the camera, behind the computer. I'm not interested in.
Behind and, JP.
I'm not
Wait a minute.
Obviously, because I'm working in journalism, I'm not interested in money.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing I was going to say, because so you started out as a freelance writer.
Yes.
Which is a fancy way of saying you're lazy, right? Because you didn't want a real job, and you just wanted to send in your works to people.
Yeah, something like that. I was a reporter. I was a reporter for about 5 years, and the 60s kind of, or the post-60s, the 70s happened, and myself and my girlfriend and my two kids bailed out, and we moved to Mexico.
Yeah, what happened there?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so we lived in Mexico for several years. Yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah. So what, you said, forget it, this place is insane?
Taught English, freelance, wrote travel.
Really?
You know, one week I was in the New York Times travel section and the El Paso Times.
All in the same week?
Yes, in the same week. And the pay wasn't a terribly, terribly different.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
The two juggernauts of the travel world.
Yeah. And the only letter I got on that article was some guy that said the train I mentioned that went from somewhere to somewhere in Mexico, it was about Mexican trains, had been gone for 5 years.
Yeah.
So much for my sources.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the pay wasn't that. You would think that the New York Times is big time.
New York Times was, and then those days was maybe 300, and the El Paso Times was like 100.
I see.
So you tell me.
Yeah. Relatively.
It's about
relatively.
A year. Pay in Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, 70s.
We lived on about $50 to $60 a month, yeah.
Did you really?
Oh yeah.
Homeschool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we had rent at $25 a month and we had to eat. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a good way to, but then our kids started to grow up and
how old were the kids at that time?
Little, you know, young.
So it didn't matter to them.
Yeah.
Did you learn Spanish?
Some, yeah. Of right. course, yeah.
Spanglish.
And
Spanglish.
How was how was the beer writing in Mexico? Ed, did you get any beer?
No, I never thought of it. You know, I just drank Mexican beer, which, you know, in those days, well, if you get Superior dead fresh, it was good, actually.
Okay.
And Bohemia was okay. And Negro Modelo, still decent beer.
And was that all in cans back then?
Oh, no.
Bottles. What's that? It was bottles.
Bottles on tap, yeah.
Oh, and on tap also, yeah. Okay. See, I think that's a ballsy thing to do, and I think if this whole thing doesn't work out, that's what I'm doing. I'm out of here. I'm headed for Mexico. I thought of Canada, but I don't like white people. So,
or Canada.
So I'm just going to leave and go to Mexico. They have the internet there, right?
Now they do, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, yeah, James Taylor.
They run the pipe. They tow a donkey wherever you want the internet to go to. They just run the cable to wherever you need to be. So if you want to send an email to Sully... You gotta wait a couple hours.
I have to wait for the donkey.
Justin's internet's here. It smells. Yeah. Steph, get the oats.
Yeah.
So you decided to come back to...
Yeah. Well, we were going to come back for 6 months and make some money and then go back.
Oh, and you stuck.
And we broke up.
Oh.
And, you know, I wound up freelancing. So I didn't know what the hell else to do, so I freelanced a lot. Wrote a lot.
You went to school for journalism. You knew you were going to be a journalist of one sort or another.
Yes. Okay. I was. In my family, my brother was supposed to be the doctor, and I was supposed to be the lawyer.
I see.
And my brother became a cop, and I became a reporter, and my mother cried.
I was going to say, how disappointing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she never could understand why I was writing about beer.
Really?
We didn't have beer in the house.
And does she think of that as kind of a degenerate thing, too?
I think. I don't know what she thought, but she just didn't like beer. They drank bourbon, you know? It was just people that came out of the Depression, they didn't drink beer. Middle-class people didn't drink beer.
It wasn't strong enough coming out of the Depression. You needed a little kick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It was really cocktail time in the 50s.
It's quite true, yeah.
So had your column been like, what's in the barrel, she'd have loved it. It would have been fine. But instead, you went with the beer thing.
But just think of it, Justin. His parents were disappointed with him, and you're halfway there.
Yeah.
Salud.
It's true. My dad's sort of proud of me. My dad, he always asks what's happening, and he always asks, So are you making money yet? Have you gotten any new... His question, he's become more tactful about it. He says, have you gotten any new sponsors this week, Justin? That's what he has. Meanwhile, he's paying off my college loans, and I think he's ready for me to take over that payment plan.
No, Dad, no new sponsors, just you.
Yeah, you're my only one, Dad.
Can you run a commercial for
him? You tell him somebody hit that $2 button.
Yeah.
This week.
By the way, if you're in Connecticut, stop by your local Chevy dealer. My pops will finance your new car for you. And at the same time, my education. So there you go. All right. So now it's not just beer writing for you. You're saying you do other writing still?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of evolving because the newspapers' circulation has plunged. Mm. They've noticed the internet.
Sure.
And so they're going big time at it. And so they discovered, oh, he has a blog. So I have two blogs. I have a Tribune blog, and I have the What's on Tap blog.
Okay.
And the Tribune blog has some readers, but it's small. I have a fairly, you know, fair amount. And so for the last few months, they've been paying me to write the blog.
Really?
Yeah. I write for the web, so I split my time about half and half.
Okay.
And because they're very serious about the blog thing. So,
well, they should be.
Yeah, they're getting ads. I keep telling them, you could sell beer ads with my beer blog.
Yeah.
But they don't get that. So you go on the site and then there's ads for, you know.
Other things. See?
Yeah.
They should. The Google model is right. Essentially that you focus the ads. And certainly all of this stuff should be focused. And it's the same in radio, I got to say. At CBS, where I work, they can't get this niche thing, and it still has to be broad advertising. They still think their bread and butter is the car dealerships and the Tom Shane, and these guys are spending money on ads, but they are completely ignoring the focused ad, which is really why the internet. It's the only reason that the internet is going to be successful in advertising is because you can focus it. But for some reason, I think it's interesting you say the newspapers are finding that weird too.
Yeah, it's like. I don't understand. I'm actually in conversations with the director of internet advertising for the mogulopoly that owns us, and see if I can convince her that maybe, if they just like, call Boston Beer or you know, some home brew shop if they want to go local, maybe they'd like a little ad next to my column. It seems. And rather than the ad for Joe's Loans and
something.
The one that nobody looks at.
The one that nobody looks at, exactly.
But you can be sure. I mean, as a beer consumer, you know, like yourself, Doc, if you're already going to a column to read about beer and you see an interesting ad about beer, you're definitely more likely to click it than if it's a loan ad.
If there's one I haven't seen before, I'm not going to go to his column to look for a loan.
No, right. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Or whatever they have. I mean, they have ads of Buddy Crocker or whatever.
Sure,
yeah.
But it's not the stuff that...
Yeah. Your dad's Chevrolet dealership.
I'm reading your blog. I'm already halfway there.
Yeah. And so the homebrew shop's got a deal or something, you might click on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Your brewery cans beer might...
beer.
What's that?
Hi. Sean O'Sullivan.
Sean, you weren't the first, but you were the first in the Bay Area, and that was been
That's
a cool
right. I'm going to get that tattooed on my eyelids.
That's been a kick.
Not the first, but the first
It's a kick.
Year.
It's great beer, damn it.
Yeah.
Even better in cans.
Yeah, and better.
Where can we get that, Sean?
Yeah.
I paid for you guys to talk about this. That's the new way of doing advertising. Working into the program.
You know.
I think people are going to start believing that, Sully. People are going to start believing that you and I sit around before the show and I go, okay, $5 for every time we say cans.
Yeah. We don't even like each other off the air, really. So Sully doesn't hang out.
No. I get up and leave, and then I have my lawyer call Justin and we work the arrangements out.
Yeah. I get criticized that I didn't put enough emphasis in the or something.
You didn't say can. You rolled it down when you should be spiking it and popping it on the end.
Yeah. Well, I think it's unique that you're being paid to blog. I got to say that.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of people getting paid to do that.
No kidding.
You know?
Yeah, this is something in transition, and we will see what happens.
So for them, it's really we have to keep our finger on this thing to see where it goes, and they're willing just to let you go for it.
Yeah, I'm shocked, actually.
Okay. But,
I really think it has legs, actually. I was reading the New York Times this morning on there was a thing on politic blogs.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You mean the one of the D.C. bloggers?
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting.
They were talking about how well, finally, the New York Times publishes it, and so they all go to this one blog site, and the blog that day was, "Welcome, New York Times readers." It's like exactly why they were there.
Wow.
So,
yeah, just keying into that.
Yep.
So how many times a week are you blogging? Is this a daily thing?
Oh, yeah.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Many times. You know, I might have a blank once in a while, but if they give me the time, I'm going to do more, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the stuff, you know, the stuff that comes in, there's lots and lots and lots of stuff. There's a bunch of other pretty good bloggers in the around, you know, Jay Brooks.
We love Jay's blog, yeah. And he's really good at it.
He does. He does a good job. He's going to the Philadelphia beer thing.
Yep. He posted there recently.
Has he posted? I haven't seen it yet, yeah.
Now, will the Tribune or any of the places you work for, will they send you to events to cover these, or is that all on your...
Well, we're working on it. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Probably not. I mean, I might... I don't know. I don't want to get there yet. But yeah. I'm definitely going to go down to San Diego for that. I think that'll be
Craft
a good
Brewers
one.
Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think there's a big thing in Philadelphia from the Brewers Association with Savour Magazine. They're going to have these big tastings.
Oh, that's a new festival, right?
17th of May. No, it's like 2 days.
It's actually, it's in D.C.
Yeah, D.C.
Yeah,
yeah, we're doing them.
Yeah. You're going to be there too?
Yeah, we were picked.
Really?
It was a lottery. We won.
Oh, you did?
Is that right?
The kids that run Santa Cruz Mountain Brewing just sent me an email. They're going to be there too. You're going to be there. I think I'm going to go to that.
It's a great event. It's all about food and beer. It's not Savour Magazine. I think it's just Savours. I made the same mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bring your body armor.
Yeah.
If you're going to Washington, D.C.
I was stationed there in the Navy. That's how I discovered beer was in the Navy.
Oh, really?
Oh, I have a great story. Yes, we were waiting in line for a film. Me and I was like, maybe 18.
Okay.
And I looked about 12. And with the older guys, and there was a long line to the movie, and there was a German restaurant. And the guy said, "Let's go in there and eat."
And this is in D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, okay. So we go in a very fancy German restaurant, long gone. And the waiter's taking orders. And would you like a beer, sir, to me?
Yeah.
And I said, yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, trying to, yes, I think I would.
Make it two.
I said, well, what would you like? I said, what do you recommend? Because I didn't have a clue, right?
Yeah.
So he brought me Würzburger Amber.
Okay.
Okay. And I hated beer because all I ever drunk was Coors and Budweiser. Which,
of course you hated beer.
Yeah, yes, of course you hate beer. I remember when Budweiser can't be warm and fizzing up and burning my cheek when I was like 12, and I hated beer ever since.
Yeah, that'll keep
you. But anyway, I took a sip of that, and I thought, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is beer.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Really? So you just, you loved it. You couldn't believe that was a...
It was stunning.
Yeah.
To me, at that time, it wasn't bitter. It was. It had a rich malt and this kind of hoppy follow, and it was beautiful.
And the clouds parted, and the sun shone.
Ta-da! Beer.
Yeah,
that's how it all started.
Did you order six more that night?
I don't think I did. I was scared they'd card me. You know, because God, I was far from legal age.
Well, and they had to get back to the movie. Behind a Green Door was starting soon.
Yeah, exactly right. You got the movie.
It's JP's favorite.
Yeah. Yes. That and Deep Throat. Yeah.
It's JP's favorite.
Yeah.
I have copies of both as well, as a matter of fact. All right, let's take another quick break here. We've got some bills to pay. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. I want to know about what you think about beer journalism now, because, you know, I think you were maybe a candle in the dark before, but now you're just another beer writer, right?
Yep,
there's a bunch
exactly
of them out
right.
There,
that's so great. I mean, it's great.
All right, so we'll talk about that when we come back. We got Bill Brand here, 888-401-BEER. You can join us in the chat room and go to beernewsletter.com, and that's /blog, and that's one of Bill's blogs. You can check it out. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Oh crap, it's the hop shortage.
No, not the organic free-range Oyster Russian Imperial Coffee Stout.
It's all gone. We'll never brew again.
Damn this hop shortage. Damn it to hell.
Oi!
away off your wee f***ing hop shortage, f***.
Who are you?
A f***ing Scottish 80 shilling, and you cannot brew a Scottish 80 shilling like you was mixing f***ing cement with f***ing hops instead of gravel, your great f***ing ass.
Use less hops, brew more beer. Northern Brewer has kits and ingredients for dozens of worldwide beer styles that don't require a lot of hops to make a great pint, like the bloodthirsty and abusive Scottish 80 shilling. Keep drinking great beer. Order at northernbrewer.com and get flat rate $7.99 shipping anywhere in the contiguous U.S. One beer kit, $7.99 shipping. 1 million beer kits, $7.99 shipping.
Together we can beat this hop shortage.
My lambic!
It'll only f***ing help it.
Gather round ye lads and lasses, set ye par a while, and hearken to me mournful tale about the Emerald Isle. Let's all raise our glasses high to friends and family gone, and lift our voices in another Irish drinking song. Consumption took me mother and me father got the pox. Me brother drank the whiskey till he wound up in a box. Me other brother in the troubles met with his demise. Me sister has forever closed her smiling Irish eyes.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
Kenny was killed in Kilkenny, and Clare, she died in Clare. Tip from Tipperary died out in the Derriere. Shannon jumped into the river, Shannon back in June. Ernie fell into the urn, and Tom is in the tomb. Cleanliness is godliness, me Uncle Pat would sing. He broke his neck, a slipping on the bar of Irish Bing. O'Grady, he was 80, though his bride was just a pup. He died upon the honeymoon when she got his Irish up.
Hey! Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da, 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 ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da.
Joe Murphy fought with Riley near the cliffs of Old Dunee. He took out his shillelagh and he stabbed him in the spleen. Where crazy Uncle Mike thought he was a leprechaun, but in fact he's just a leopard and his arms and legs are gone. When Timmy Johnson broke his neck, it was a crying shame. He wasn't really Irish, but he went to Notre Dame. McNamara crossed the street and by a bus was hit, but he was just a Scotsman, so nobody gave a shit.
Oh. Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
And Uncle Brendan tried to drive home from the bar. The road rose up to meet him when he fell out of his car. Irony was what befell me great-granduncle Sam. He choked upon the very last potato in the land. Connor lived in Ulster town, he used to smuggle arms, until the British killed him and cut off his lucky charms. And dear old Father Flanagan, who left the Lord's employ, drunk on sacramental wine beneath the altar boy.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
Someday soon I'll leave this world of pain and toil and sin. The Lord will take me by the hand to join all of me kin. Me only wish is when the Savior comes for me and you.
He kills the cast of Riverdance and Michael Flatley too. Now everybody's dying, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drink in once again.
www.thebrewingnetwork.com. Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio
Back to the program, everybody. Got a lot still to cover with Bill Brand here. Go to beernewsletter.com, and you can check out some of his work there. He's got a blog. And then I assume you can go to Oakland Tribune.
It's IBA Buzz/beer.
IBA Buzz slash beer, and that's your blog for the Tribune.
Yeah, they're mirrors. One of the same.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. You can do that. You can join us in the chat room. Bevo, how are things going in there today?
Good.
How is your sobriety treating you? It's tough, isn't it? Tough to be in here and not drink beer.
Kind of like Married to Sam. Kind of bleh. Speaking of blog, it's very bleh.
No, I like being married to Sam.
You do? Is married life treating you well so far?
It has, yes.
Yeah?
Well, not so far. You had to sit in the ER in Richmond for 4 hours.
That was rough.
Yeah,
that's what it's going to be like.
Quick side note. Bevo's telling us how she had to go to the ER that Tuesday night. She just was feeling real bad. And she's sitting there and waiting, you know, 4 hours, whatever it takes to ER. And she had fallen asleep. And she wakes up to the sound of, "Somebody help! This woman's been shot!"
Oh my God. No kidding.
And so we all go, "Oh, you went to the ER in Richmond."
Yeah.
The ER in Richmond.
Why didn't you go to the one out here? Why did you go to Richmond?
Well, I live close to not close to Richmond, but I live closer to Richmond. And I know a lot of people who work there.
Yeah.
So I thought it would help me. I mean, it's a Tuesday night. I didn't think
in Richmond,
all of Richmond was going to be in the emergency room. I didn't think I was going to have to be there for 4 hours before anybody saw me.
Shooters don't just work on weekends.
I didn't know that. It was crazy.
Well, the bad
guys
never work in bad weather, though.
Is
they
that right?
Like rain. Yeah.
So
rainy nights are safe.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a pretty nice night.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell though because I was freezing. Cause I had like a 102 degree temperature, but
it was a nice night for a shooting.
Why stay home on a nice night when you be out there shooting?
That's right. That's interesting. You noticed that from the crime beat.
Yes. That's a T-shirt
that you knew you'd have an easy night if it was pouring.
Yeah, it was hard rain. And it's cold. They don't like it.
That's interesting.
The dope sellers go inside, and so whoever's trying to kill him stays inside too. But maybe if it'll rain lets off of them, then they'll go back out to sell, and then whoever's after him will go out and shoot him.
Sounds like a cartoon comic book.
But it's not. It's real. These are like 14, 15, 16-year-olds with Mac-10s and things like that.
Good Lord.
That sounds like fun.
Mostly they can't hit. They can't shoot well. You know.
They're practicing on some cans.
Yeah.
Or not.
Here's $1.
$5.
And Richmond. Kaiser Richmond? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highland is more.
I've written from there
before. If you get shot anywhere, insist you go to Highland in Oakland. Yes.
That because they treat so many gunshot wounds?
They're experts.
If you get shot
if you can be saved, they'll save you. If you can't be saved, you can't be saved anywhere.
What's ridiculous is Richmond's not a trauma center, so they're just going to send out
somewhere else.
Whatever, whoever
gets
shot.
If you're bleeding
with
a couple of bullet holes in you, you're going to want to go to the first place.
The hospital's right near the kill zone.
Oh, I think she was actually shot outside of the hospital. I don't think she was dropped off.
Yeah.
You shot right there in front.
Hey, if I'm going to be shot, it's going to be in front of a hospital.
Could you please wait till we get in front of the hospital?
I was doing working in the hospital for a while, and we patched up somebody.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the nice part of town.
We got shot
and they went out to their car, but they didn't make it to their car, and they were back in again. They got beat up out there.
You had to do regular med school rounds?
Yeah.
Dental?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had to work
hospital
in the ER?
Rounds. Nah, well, it's like you're the peon, so you get to do whatever they need you to do. Yeah.
Dr. Lothar.
Here, hold that so it doesn't bleed.
Help this man. He's been shot in the tooth.
Yeah.
My crown fell off. Out of the way, man.
No, it's just here, hold this. Put your finger on that.
Doc goes home. I saved somebody's molar today.
Exactly.
I had a rough day. Two molars fell out, and I replaced them.
He will chew again.
And I come home to this?
Yeah. And by the way, Bevo, you're wearing like an extra cleavage shirt today.
Shh, don't worry, because she's going to pull it up. See? There
What's
you
going
go.
On? Jesus.
Thanks, Justin.
Like, trying not to I'm trying to focus on the interview over here.
I'm sorry.
Stop pulling it up.
Yeah.
Get married and you start dressing like a tramp. What's going on?
Shut up.
Sam probably bought that shirt for you. Here you go.
No, this came with a pajama set that I got for the wedding.
I see.
I just didn't wear it.
Did you open all your wedding gifts yet?
No.
Did we tell you that you don't open our gift around family?
Yes, and that's, I'm glad you told me, because there's like this huge thing, like the whole family's going to sit around and watch us open presents.
Or small children.
Have dinner.
Or animals.
That's what I figured. After we wrapped it up and put it in the pile with all the other gifts, I went, you know what? I think that it's kind of a tradition that like everyone sits around and opens those things. Schumann, make sure you tell Bevo to separate that gift. It'll be bad news.
I hope it says your name, because I don't know what it looks like.
It says mine and Schumann's name, and I'm telling you, your parents will never, ever, ever forgive us if they see that gift.
That's usually my brother's M.O. He'll put in a gift with no card, knowing that grandma's going to be there. Usually it's the shower gift, though.
Be careful. Get it out of there. All right, back on track here. 888-401-BEER, that's the number, and join us in the chat room. Still talking with Bill Brand here. I want to talk a little bit about how beer journalism has kind of changed, because, you know, it used to be you had to fight to get your column, and, you know, now I think every major paper seems to be publishing something about beer almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I follow it pretty closely. It's true. Yeah, I mean, even like the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, about once a month they'll do something now. They tend to do these big epics like Porters.
Sure.
IPAs.
Right.
And the best, then they'll have the best IPAs, you know, and they're all the ones that were fresh that they tasted where they ever they may be. But
right.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's great.
And now, do you find, when I first started reading beer articles, and literally with the exception of yours, if they were in mainstream papers, you know, they were they were terrible. And they were written from a wine person's perspective, and they were really, every other sentence was how surprised they were that a beer could be good, how surprised they were that it paired well with food. And
it's not what you think beer should
be. Right. And I see that changing now in the mainstream papers. The Chronicle, I think, the San Francisco Chronicle, is a really good example. That just in 2008, I would say, they've done really well putting up good, you know, actual beer journalists. So what do you think?
I think that's true. What's happened, it's just attrition. The old guys have faded away.
Okay.
And people in the 20-somethings, 30-somethings are now at all newspapers. And they grew up with good beer.
Yeah.
So, of course they're going to write about good beer, and no, they're not going to be surprised. Oh, this is hoppy.
Right.
They're not going to be surprised. And that's what's happened. The world has changed.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
In fact, we've even talked about that basically the kids that are turning 21 now will not, especially in this area, they will not know a time where they walked into the grocery store and there wasn't Sierra Nevada and three forms of IPA, and they don't know that. You know,
yeah, they've never loved and lost.
That's right. My generation is the last one that will remember a time at the grocery store when you could only get Bud and Keystone
when things were lean
and all of that. Yeah,
yeah.
Boy, those were lean days too. You look at a grocery at Safeway or something. And, oh my! God.
I can remember when Henry Weinhardt's was.
That's
wow,
what that I was going to say. Yeah. Henry Weinhardt's was the bomb. If you were gonna do anything but Bud, it was Henry.
And it was always like, you know, bottling 102 was great. Everybody would number the
If you were something
that yeah.
If you were something you collected all the different bottle numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that or Lucky Lager. I liked Lucky Lager.
You liked Lucky Lager?
I did.
Oh my
God. it's a weird thing. I actually remember, I wasn't old enough to buy then, but I remember generic beer.
Yes.
It was in a yellow can, it just said beer on it.
Yeah. Or the beer, white can with the blue stripe.
Yep.
I just remember that. Like, and there was a whole generic food aisle.
Mm-hmm. And it was made by the same company, General Brewing of Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Which is long gone, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, you know the.
I bet it was really good too.
You know the Southern California grocery store chain Stater Brothers.
Oh yeah, they put in all the bad neighborhoods.
Yeah, so Stater Brothers,
a lot of meat and chilies.
So in other words, everywhere I lived when I was a kid, there was a Stater Brothers. And they would have all of their generic brands were brown, like paper bag brown. And I remember going down the beer aisle, and there was a 12-pack paper bag brown with black letters that said beer. And that was
good enough for you.
And it was fine by me. I didn't care. And it was fine by all my friends' fathers, and that's what everyone, they didn't, nobody cared.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, because they all tasted the same. What's the difference? Why pay an extra?
Oh, yeah. I remember my dad used to drink the cheapest crap he could find.
It drinks good enough, don't it?
It's fine.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Like your mother.
There's Brew 102, Hams, Schlitz, whatever he could find.
Yeah. No, Hank's was high class, man.
It was.
Henry Weinhardt's, it really was.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, that's true. They really.
I remember when I first started flying a lot more. You know, I had about 21 or 20. I had to fly some places, and they had Henry Weinhardt's on the plane as the extra special beer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Instead of your can of Coors or whatever it was.
I think I was lucky to live here, because when Henry Weinhardt's came out, we already had better beer. So I didn't. I never thought it was that great.
Right.
But I can see a perspective. That's a matter of perspective.
Oh, I don't ever. I don't want to drink another Henry Weinhardt's, because my memories are that it was a fine beer. Yeah. I'm afraid to have it now and then
I
go,
think it was actually okay.
You
know. Actually,
yeah, it was. Especially when what you had to compare it to.
Yeah.
Blue Boar was pretty decent. I think Blue Boar was the best.
Yeah. Really?
I think it was their pale ale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's because they had like four different flavors.
They had like 20. They had a lot.
They have a lot. They still do.
Private Reserve.
The Blue Boar. And there was some with like a purple label or something.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I don't really know.
Some of their beers now are okay, actually.
Yeah.
And that's Miller, I think. And
it is now, yeah. Why? But it wasn't then.
Well, no. Justin really likes Miller Genuine Draft, so that's probably why.
Miller Light, actually.
I actually prefer Miller to Bud, anyway. That's...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you one of these guys? You can tell the difference here? They use better corn?
Yeah. No, they use the corn, and Bud uses the rice.
I see.
I don't know.
Bevo.
No,
Bevo,
blind tasting is very humbling.
I was turned off.
Yeah, Bevo wanted a smart mouth, but she couldn't.
Miller High Life.
Miller High Life, the champagne.
Champagne beers.
You know what? There was a whole 12-pack of Miller High Life here just like a month ago. That's Schumann was here with some lady friend of his drinking Miller High Life.
Yeah, lady friend.
Yeah. Oh, boy. She was 13.
All right.
Tried to play a drinking game with that once, and I drank one, and that was it. That was the end of the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have my best friend growing up was, his family was German, and they drank beer at home. We'd get a case of Coors. I'd drink four. He'd drink 20. He'd drive me home.
Wow,
yeah.
Because that wasn't real beer.
And he was only 14.
Yeah, he'd been drinking beer since he was little.
Yeah, that's the difference in the culture.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point you make about the writers, because it's, you know, I guess I only think of it in terms as the consumer is growing up, and that's why the writing's getting better.
But the writers are.
I
never looked at it that way.
Oh, yeah, totally.
These kids are beer lovers to begin with, so that's a good point.
And so it's a win-win situation. It's going to get better and better, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I believe. I can't imagine it wouldn't.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to ask you, to look into your crystal ball a little bit, because... I mean, is this a it seems to be, beer is written about so much now. Certainly the Belgian thing that JP's talking about, it's very trendy.
That's the first thing. The first beer thing has gotten really big.
It's really gotten big.
It's reached a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just going to go away, though? Will it be, or do you think, you know, you see what I mean? I wonder if this is just the trendy thing right now.
Well, I think everything is cyclical, and I think that because we're getting all these great new beers right now, and there's a real sense of momentum about drinking great beer right now, that just seems like a natural extension of what's happening. And I'm sure it'll fade, and, you know, we'll all get into Australian light lagers at some point.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Exactly. And so I don't think he's far off the mark. I mean, look what happened with IPAs here.
Yeah.
And then it shifted to double IPAs. And I think following that, people were looking elsewhere, and so then the Belgians came up, and Morgan from EJ Fair and I have always joked about having a wheat beer festival or a pale ale festival, just to poke fun at, you know, the barley wine fests or the whatever, because it's at one point we're going to get back into session beers.
It gets so trendy,
you know?
And now it's the barrel age stuff. That's the big,
I think that one will fade.
The arrowhead right now is this the barrel age. Everybody wants to get into the barrel age thing.
Yeah, look at the trade mags. Last couple issues, they're all about oak, especially Zymergy coming up.
Do you need barrel age, Sean?
We've played around with that a little bit.
Yeah,
I just think that people are, like JP, are more concerned with what they're putting in their mouth lately. And I think that, you know...
Yeah. Hey, my parents are proud now.
We're all concerned about
that. Let's not talk about the past.
People want to know what's going into the beer and all that, and if there's different flavors out there, they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
So. But it's so hard doing the barrel age things. You need space.
Yeah.
You need time.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to run a business... It's maybe not going to be there for that.
No.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to go away. I think, like, fine wines, there'll be a niche for that.
Yeah, well, I don't think
it'll be the same hype as we have now.
It won't. No, it's explosive right now. People are into it.
It won't go away 100%.
No.
People will get better at it, and they'll realize that if you have a bourbon, oak-aged whatever, you're not tasting bourbon over the oak.
Yeah. And the born-on date is, you know, before your birthday.
Yeah.
Then it might still be a good beer.
They're going to get better at it.
See, I think that it's here to stay, and the writing and the hype is here to stay. I don't think that part of this cycle is going to go away. I just am concerned that we will become caricatures of ourselves. You know, like it used to be that you made fun of beer snobs because, oh, I'm going to have a mocha java fruity porter ale. You know, that was the running joke. And we've gotten away from that because people realize you're allowed to have different beers. And I'm afraid that as we keep going with this barrel age thing and the next thing, that we're going to go right back to becoming this cartoon of ourselves where every beer has to be some insane. It can't just be a beer anymore.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's ever going to happen because look what the big 900-pound gorilla is doing in the room. It's
canning their beer.
Yeah. It's Anheuser-Busch. They're producing watered-down beer, and it always sort of pulls that little small little thing that we're doing in the craft beer world to that side and sort of evens it out. I mean, when you talk about barrel-aged beers, I mean, how many people are really doing that? It's sort of like important to us as a little beer community here, but it's, you know, it'll sort of swing back and forth, and people will do it here and there, but I don't think it's really going to, like, you know, Doc said, like, have a lot of great momentum, but it's always going to be there, I think.
Yeah, it's, no, and Sully's right. It's amazing how much pull Budweiser actually has in the business. We've been looking at more beer. We were trying to get stainless steel shanks for years. And I remember 3 or 4 years ago, we had called up one of the suppliers and said, hey, why don't you guys make these? They go, because Budweiser hasn't asked us to yet.
Yeah.
And then they started to. Then Budweiser started doing that, and now you can get them at any homebrew shop.
You should call them up
specifically
and say,
because of that.
This is Augie, and I'd like to order 100,000 of those.
Yeah, like an Augie's gotten decrepit over the last year.
I need a stainless shank, please.
Yeah,
and a strap on. I was kidding about that.
Okay.
Augie, if you're listening,
take it back. Yeah.
The thing I watch, my wife is a psychologist. She works for the City of Berkeley's Mobile Crisis Squad, and she has interns, and they're all kind of middle to late 20s.
Really?
When they come for a party, or maybe early 30s, I watch what beer they bring. Or what they bring.
Can we get invited to these parties too, Bill?
That's all you're watching? Just
and they bring good beer. They just bring good beer.
Yeah.
Among other things.
And themselves. Here we go.
Yes. And themselves.
Now, do you think that that is our area? Or let's take any area that has a thriving craft beer scene? Or would we find that in Decatur, Georgia?
Obviously,
smoking
Decatur,
wolf.
Georgia has a beer scene if they have one of the best beer pubs in America.
One of the 10 best.
Yeah, the Smoking Wolf Sack Pub.
I do not know where.
Neither do I. But I just wonder, when we talk about how thriving craft beer is right now, I wonder if it's just because we're immersed in it right here. Would somebody in Montana say the same thing? Would they say that every party they show up at, people have got great beer?
I think they would.
You have a great craft brewery in Montana. Don't you have...
Moose Drool comes out of there.
Big Sky Brewing Company, Missoula.
Missoula, that's a good...
But does having one good brewery, count as...
Sometimes it's a start. It's a start.
How many people are in Montana?
5, I think. No, it's 6. One of them just had a kid. 6. There's
and,
6
And
there.
A couple horses.
Yeah.
Sorry, listener in Montana.
I know.
Yeah,
all
Nate.
Of our angriest emails come from
Nate's
Montana.
Montana's really close to Canada.
Is it?
Manada.
I looked in a map in a while.
Yeah. Bill, I got a question for you. What was it like to drink Anchor Steam when it first was kind of hot back in the day, or it just was one of the few beers out there, to what it's like now?
Like, has it changed?
Has it changed at all? You always want to know about that.
That's
whether
a good question.
I came to the Bay Area in 1970. And my girlfriend of the time, her best friend was, it's complicated, but there's a guy named Freddie Koo who started the Savoy Tivoli and the one around the corner,
restaurant.
He was good friends with Fritz Maytag. And he was there, for some time, he was their only customer, literally. And so that's where I had the Anchor Steam. And I just, it may be cleaner now, I think.
Yeah.
But, I always just really liked it. I didn't
mean it sounded like, you bought it back in the bucket back in the day. Like, I ladled it out with my leather cup, and I consumed it. Certainly a lot cleaner.
It was fresh.
I'm painting Bill to be like this.
It was pretty funky.
Yeah. Really?
60s, yeah.
It was hit or miss?
Yeah.
The other stuff
before Fritz Maytag, and after he bought it. And even that old brewery was pretty funky.
Yeah.
I remember touring that, and it was like, there was like water on the floor. And
oh, really?
Kind of a
kind of like yeah, Justin's was, bathroom,
right?
It was not.
That's not water on the floor.
Yeah,
it's human water.
Well, that's very different than now, isn't it? Because now you go in there and it's
pristine.
Just yeah, it's beautiful brewery. You know, the best tour
was,
in the bay.
The old one was
a little scary.
Down kind of on off market somewhere. I remember touring it, and it was like. You know, it was
like because I mean, in
you
my,
had to put quarters in the window to see the girls.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I have a short period.
I got
of,
it. That was funny.
I'm sorry, I stepped on your joke there.
Okay.
We'll pick it up in the
after the post show.
We're all used to it.
I remember like Lagunitas because I haven't been doing this that long, 14 years, and I remember first trying Lagunitas out of a 22-ounce bottle, and there was so much yeast in the bottom because they were doing bottle conditioning, and it was terrible. And now it's like one of the cleanest beers in the world. I mean, they. You know, they're filtering it. They've got a new packaging line and all that. So that's sort of like the way I think about it. So I always think about what was Anchor like back in the day. What was Liberty Ale back when you first had it? Because that was considered to be an IPA at the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Are these beers different?
Yeah.
The one that always blew me away when I first had Anchor Porter, you know.
Yeah.
Anchor
yeah.
Porter just, oh, my God.
It's something else.
Oh, my God. What is this? This is wonderful. No, by the time I tried Anchor, it was pretty clean. I can't remember any off flavors or anything like the early Lagunitas, yeah.
So it's pretty much the same.
But I think in the 60s when he bought it, what, 65 or something like that?
68, I think.
68.
Or so, yeah.
It was pretty much a wreck.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awful.
Are you still surprised by beers like that? So like you say that porter kind of blew you away.
Do
people come out with beers that you just go, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
That somebody made this.
I know. It's the wonderful thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 Hmm. Just
you know,
new
Russian,
stuff
some
all
of
the
Russian
time.
River beers, for instance.
Who?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Some of his beers.
Yeah.
The new
yeah.
Mavericks in town?
Well, and this is a good segue for us because something... I don't know how long you've been doing it. I just started getting an email newsletter from you, and essentially you're doing a beer of the week.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing a beer of the week?
Okay, here's the story.
Yeah, let me know.
I had my column. When they brought my column back, they brought it back, I think it was maybe once a month or every other week. And I said, hey, I have this idea. You know, you don't have much space, so I can do... On the off weeks, I can do a beer of the week.
Okay.
And so I started that. And so that's maybe middle 90s, something like that.
Started
filler. Later than that, like 98.
So when did you do Henry Weinhardt's?
Yeah. I don't think I ever did Henry.
No?
They once sent me all their samples. I tried them all, and there was nothing wrong with them. I just didn't ever get... It's like I didn't ever get around to it.
That's the freelance thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. He had golf to do.
But we have so much great beer here. And then plus we have some incredible imports. So,
do you get sent a lot of beer?
Not really.
No.
I try to discourage that because we're like Henry Weiner sent me 24 bottles of beers.
And they give it to your friends.
What am I going to do with it?
Yeah. You end up with a pallet of beer. So here it is. What's on tap? I've got this week's. This week you wrote about, or I guess it was last week's actually, Reunion 08.
Oh, yeah. They're the rye beer with caraway seeds.
And that was with a friend of the show, good old Pete Schlossberg and company.
I see Pete right there on the
label. There's old Pete right there.
Say hi.
I like Pete.
What a character.
Because he forgave my...
And Alan Shapiro.
Yeah, your faux pas.
He forgave my faux pas.
Alan has some really interesting imports, actually.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
They were part of the whole Pete's Wicked Ale team back when they first started.
Virginia McLean and Alan were two of Pete's first employees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As they've gotten back together, and this particular beer is unique because it's also a fundraiser for, is it?
It's lymphoma? Something Myeloma Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myeloma is like, disease of the bones?
Yeah, bone cancer.
It's a cancer,
That's sarcoma.
Yeah.
So, myeloma is muscle.
And we're going to do a tasting blood, after the next break. We're going to sit with you and do a tasting with you. But I'm curious. You have to write this column. You've got to put out a beer review every week.
Nerves.
How do you? We have trouble doing this. How do you choose a beer? And do you?
It's tough.
I'm actually more curious if you choose a couple of beers and find out I can't write about this, and then you have to go to another beer.
Yes, I've done that desperately.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have the thing done on Friday at 2, and I often Friday at 10 in the morning I'm...
Getting hammered. Lit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out where the hell I'm going to
write
about.
Where's that beer?
Because sometimes a beer does not have a lot to speak of.
I know.
And here you are stuck with you've got to finish this column. So
I never do that. I just... trash it and go back to
you
something.
Do
yeah I just won't do it. I wrote a whole column for next week about
IPA in a can.
No. No, about Guinness
from
Stout.
From O'Dell's.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I did the whole damn column because I had I wanted to put other stuff in, alternatives, but no room. So I'm going to do that on my blog.
Okay.
But they have this thing called the Surger. Have you guys seen that?
No.
You know what? The Guinness rep was at the shop the other day and, you know, selling us Guinness.
Pushing
like,
it, huh?
He's like, I really want to, you guys need to try the Surger.
What is it?
I'll tell you. It's a, like a little pillar like this, and there's a platform. And you pour a little water in this depression on the platform. You put a glass of Guinness in it, and it's like ultrasound, and it sends
shock
vibrations
waves
through the beer. And the beer has been canned with nitrogen.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but there's no widget. It's just the nitrogen is mixed into the beer, and the ultrasound agitates the nitrogen molecules and creates a froth. Just like,
so it's a way to give the beer head.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
This sounds like works. Mysticism to me.
It's bizarre.
That is, and
you like shamans over there in Ireland,
but alchemy,
and it does work.
But it's just that, like, is it the idea that we're supposed to sit around our houses with this device?
They sell it in England. It's a big seller in England, but they won't sell it in the U.S.
Yeah, but so was Budweiser, though. Yeah.
What's it called again?
That's true.
Yeah. It's the Surger.
Did you get one? Yeah. Did they leave you a sample?
Sounds like a professional wrestler.
He's going to get back to me. Right now, they don't sell it for the home use. They're just trying to get it in the bars out here.
Right. Yeah. Bars that are too small to have, like, a, you know, kegs and nitrogen lines and all that stuff.
To be able to have.
And I tried it on really a little place called somebody's pizza place on University.
Okay.
And I really want to get one.
So you had to write about that.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
No, I was impressed. It was fun.
Okay.
So I didn't go.
Who invents this stuff?
I don't know.
Because they've got the real cool job.
I think we need something for that. Okay. Let's write this.
I think, Doc, if you hadn't become a dentist, you'd be that guy.
I'd be that guy,
like that stupid gadget inventor guy.
You know, you got a purpose. I'm going to make that gadget.
Doc just said, I got to get one of those things. But I was immediately thinking it was for something else that you have in your mind about some other thing that you that involves something else.
That's a different kind of nitrogen.
It's all too cryptic for me.
It's talking about socks.
Right now. I see. Sorry. Yeah. So you still have to, every week you come out with these beers. So.
Yeah.
Are they recommendations to you?
Sometimes.
Just hit the BevMo?
I may be talking to Sean or somebody. I just get ideas, and I read and I find things.
Or just choosing a beer. I can sit in front of the cooler there just looking, and I can't even decide.
Yeah.
And I only have to drink it. You got to write about it.
Yeah, I have to like it. If I don't like it, I won't write about it. What for?
Well, and that was another question I have for you. So you don't do negative reviews. If you didn't like the beer, you just won't write about it.
It's just not. Yeah, what for?
Mm.
So some
that's
beer you don't like,
for.
Or for some reason you don't like it. Yeah. Maybe somebody else likes it.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's a good point.
That. Well, that's why it's out there. There's so many beers that there's a lot of beers I don't like that doesn't mean they're not good beers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Everybody's taste is different.
Well, I think it's also just a negative. It makes a reader who maybe is trying to get into craft brew look at it, the whole thing in general, is negative. You know, that beer has that. I can have that flavor in beer. Oh, that's gross. I don't even want to try it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you don't want your pen name to be Negative Nancy, that's for sure.
It should be Positive.
Yeah, I guess the investigative beer journalism still lies ahead of us.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. And do you still enjoy it a lot, the beer writing part? I mean, or is it work for you? When you sit down to write these things, is it a drag?
Uh-huh. No. No, no, not at all.
It's not a drag. No.
It's fun. I mean, if you like the beer, and you call usually I try to call the brewer. Sometimes with big companies, it's hard to get through to the brewer. You get these PR people.
You get like, what we do there is we produce a nice amber lager.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly right.
I know nothing
right,
about it, but they tell me it's brewed cold.
Yeah, exactly.
And filtered cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that is.
But once you get to the brewers, they're pretty enthusiastic.
Oh, yeah.
The brewer, the guys that did Abyss at Deschutes, for instance,
mm-hmm.
which was a
Great beer,
but the way they did it was amazing. It's fun just talking to them.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, they did this, they did that, they did what?
And wow.
Fascinating.
And do these people know you? When you call them and you say, I'm Bill Brand, do they know your work?
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Most brewers add a dash of hops. Add a pound of hops per barrel.
He doesn't have the in like Justin. Justin calls up, says, "Yeah, this is Justin."
Oh, Justin,
are you the Justin?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't happen. I do. I can't wait for the day that it does happen.
No, they go, "Are you the Justin?" Followed by, "Our toilet's still backed up. When are you showing up?"
Yeah, that's very true.
Your day will come, Justin. I
hope so.
Actually, I know a lot of brewers that do listen to you. Yeah.
We were talking about that before the show. It was interesting to go to GABF this year because
you were everywhere.
We were the official broadcast.
It was cool.
Of the event,
yeah.
And I was really shocked and flattered to find that a lot of professional brewers coming up and saying, "Oh yeah, we put you on in the brewery every week," and a lot of them do it because they want to find out what's happening with other brewers. I mean, we have all the brewers on here at some point or another, will eventually, and they want to know what they're doing. So they tune in to find out what other breweries, not in an espionage kind of way.
The heartbeat of the brewing industry.
Yeah. I was really shocked because we certainly consider ourselves a homebrew show. It was a bit shocking to find out that pros were turning us on in the brewery.
Well, most brewers... A lot of them came out. Everybody came out of home.
Yeah, we all started homebrewing.
Yeah. They may have gone to college then or whatever, but... You know,
except for Sully. Yeah.
I went to college.
There you are, yeah.
The same college you went to, Doc.
I went to
School
college.
Life.
No.
Now, do you homebrew anymore?
No.
When's the last time you homebrewed?
Hell no. The problem was that I got so much
glass
beer
instead.
That I started feeling like a pusher.
Really?
People come over and they say...
They want to shoot you?
Here, take a little beer home, you know?
Yeah.
So I could make room so I could brew more.
Right.
Yeah. But I way back, now it's so interesting. I've never done full grain or anything like that.
Okay.
What you guys are doing, I follow all this stuff. It's just fascinating.
Yeah. It really is. And it has changed. I mean, even just since I started, it's changed in a couple of years. Never mind how it's changed in the last, since Doc started. Doc started, good Lord.
Yeah.
20 years ago, is that what you said?
No, not quite. Early 90s, real early 90s. And you barely find stuff.
Yeah.
Back then.
I'm surprised you didn't open up a homebrew shop.
I was too busy being a college student.
Yeah. Too busy doing rounds in Richmond.
Yeah.
You guys want to do... Let's take a break and we'll do a tasting. That's what I want the writer's perspective, because I'm curious if you know, when you do these tastings for your columns, if you kind of approach it from like the style guidelines. Are you looking for these sorts of... And I want to know... I'd like you to take us through the process. So,
drink a little, type a little.
Drink
a little, type a little.
Yeah. Drink a little, drink
somehow
a little.
Somehow the end of the article is so much happier than the beginning.
This is great.
Much more optimistic. You know? So let's do that. We got a lot of things sent to us, Doc, from listeners. So
yes, we need to do this.
I think what we'll do is let you and Bill pick out a couple of beers.
Okay.
And we'll come back, we'll do some tastings, because I'm really curious how the writers do it. I'm always reading about these evaluations, and I want to know if it differs from how we do it, because we tend to just crack them open, see how fast JP can drink it.
Yeah.
Well, how fast he starts dissing it.
Which is why we don't get paid and Bill does.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so a quick break.
Type.
That's the difference. Bill Brand, you can go to beernewsletter.com and / blog if you want to go right to his blog and check out the writing that he does. And when we come back, we'll do a little bit of tasting. And don't forget that we have a special appearance, emerging artist performing a brand new song.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Right here on the Brewing Network. So stick with us. Short break. We'll be back.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brew pub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brew pub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. days. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous watermelon wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
When you've had too much to drink, there's certain things to keep in mind. Like if you find your hands and underarms are bleeding, your beer bottle might not have a twist-off cap. And don't ever go home with a woman they call Moose or Vince. And never bet that you can fit your head inside a glove compartment. Get drunk with dignity. Keep in mind that just because a bulldog licks your face, it's not necessary to lick him back. Stay away from drinks with names like brain seizure or hippo laxative. Get drunk with dignity. If a bar has human ears nailed to the walls, don't pass out there. And if your homemade jello has some goldfish in it, you used the wrong bowl. And there are phrases you must learn to avoid. Phrases like that badge looks stupid, and I can prove these shoes are fireproof. Get drunk with dignity. Try not to drool on bikers. Don't moon a nun unless you've got a real good reason. Don't get romantically involved with farm machinery. Get drunk with dignity.
Yeah! Thanks, you guys.
Bravo.
Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all-grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Watching Bebo's cleavage bounce to the opening song.
Can you rewind the song so I can... I was looking at this beer.
Yeah, do it again. I'm older.
Can we do this break over again?
Yeah. I was looking at this beer like a... I don't know. Like, there weren't boobs in the room.
Poor Beavis. Welcome back, Bevo. We're glad to have you back in the studio.
I hate you.
Yeah, you don't.
That's her catchword.
Are they happy to have you in the chat room?
Who, her boobs?
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they must be. They've had JP for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Anybody.
It's been a long time. They're really
put
tired.
Jack the Ripper in there, they'd be happy right now.
That's been
a while since you've been in here.
About a month.
Now you're kind of with us for a while, right? All your little vacations and excursions are
gone. Yeah, I don't have any money to go on any more vacations for a long time.
Well, that's because your husband's a deadbeat.
Oh, don't worry. Sam's next paycheck, you'll... Oh, no.
Oh, wait. No.
That's right.
Sam, I don't know who I'm making fun of. Sam and I have the exact same paycheck.
But you don't have a family now.
That's true. All right, we're still here with Bill Brand, and we're going to do some tasting. BeerNewsletter.com, that's his blog. Check it out there. And if you're local to us, you can find his articles in the Contra Costa Times and the Oakland
Tribune.
Trib.
San Jose Mercury News.
Oh, that's right, the Mercury News, too.
Yes, San Jose Mercury News.
Not in the Chronicle, though. That's not different owner, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He hasn't managed to grab them yet.
He hasn't scooped it up yet.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Do you know him personally?
Who?
This man who owns all of these.
He makes appearances. I mean, no. Yeah, I've shaken his hand or said hello, but no, I don't know him.
He's usually on his yacht somewhere.
He's kind of a...
Don't reach around.
Cocksucker?
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Oh,
no,
sorry. We're going to get picked up by this guy.
I'm sorry. I've been watching a lot of Deadwood on HBO.
Just gives you a potty mouth.
Yeah, Sully's waiting.
Inappropriate time.
Sully's waiting in line for the karaoke to start.
Yeah, my grandmother, who comes from the Old West, said they didn't talk like that.
No?
Yeah. So she said.
I'm not so sure.
So yeah, she said show, in a foul mouth.
I actually think they didn't. I don't.
Is that show still being made, or is it all just reruns?
No, I just happened to catch it on Netflix.
It's all over. They canceled it, huh?
I don't know if it ended.
I think it may come back. It's a brilliant show.
Brilliant.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I liked it.
I can't handle the drunken lady. She just grosses me out with her mouth and everything. It's nasty.
That was Calamity Jane. She was a character in the West.
She's a real character. I think that was pretty accurate.
Yeah. All the readings of it.
Like with her black teeth and stuff. I can't watch that. It freaks me out.
Well, you think they had toothbrushes much back then?
How do you think Scott feels?
I know. Doc, when you see that.
He sees a paycheck is what he sees.
No, I just think back to the Old West like that and what everybody's breath smelled like.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
booze.
God, it had to be. Now, I bet you that's where America got our social proximity rules from. Yeah. It wasn't that we don't like to be near each other. It's that back in the day, everyone's breath was so awful that you had to be, 4 feet away to have a conversation.
And what did the hooker smell like back then?
Oh.
Probably like Sully.
Thank you, Doc.
Back then, you would have been cutting hair as well, though.
Yes, I know. Bloodletting.
Yeah. Time for a shave? How about a tooth pull? I don't know what that meant.
All right, so a lot of beer sent to us. We're going to do an official tasting show, but what did you guys pick to do some taste?
I thought we would pick... Well, I came up with an Eisbach, the original Eisbach.
This is the actual original Eisbach?
Yeah, well, the one that you can get pretty much now.
Kulmbacher?
It's pretty one of the only commercial ones, if not... As far as I know, the only one. And the other one is a homebrew. It's a California Common because we were talking so much about Anchor Steam here, and that's steam beer, California Common.
Well, I was going to mention this. There's a new brewer in Oakland, Adam Lamoureux, and he has Linden Street Brewing. It's just near Jack London Square on Linden Street.
Oh, really?
He has a happy hour on Friday afternoon, free with barbecue, and the only beer he makes is a California Common. He calls it Urban People's Common Lager or something, and it's quite good.
Is it?
What's the acronym for that?
I don't know. I don't. Something like that. Yeah.
Just because it's in Oakland doesn't mean it has to be called urban.
Yeah, he bought the old.
It's kind of insulting.
He bought the old Bison Brewing Plant.
Okay, that's where he is.
He used to work for me.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Who was it? You then that was telling me about? No, I know what it was. Yeah, I met him just before he bought it, and he was about to, and now he's up and running.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. Yeah. Well, they're putting everything in there. When I was there like 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were just putting in the fermenters.
Ah. Because Bison moved up with, are they all in cahoots with Butte Creek?
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing everything from that facility now. Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that. He was Pete Schlossberg's collaboration beer last year.
Yes, he did.
With Dan from Bison.
I thought Dan did it again this year.
Yeah, they did.
Didn't he?
He did.
Oh, Dan was in on this one also?
Dan did this one, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's an organic thing, and that's what Bison's doing right now, I think.
Ah, okay.
I might be wrong.
No, Dan did this one.
Yeah, that's right here.
And
in the
Adam actually brewed the one last year for Bison. Well, they were all there. I mean, who brewed it? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's how really I actually met him and heard about him starting that.
Yeah.
So he's just going to make the one beer.
That's a start. Yeah.
That's
he's got about 10 accounts. Is that the Trappist?
Okay.
So I think it's pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah.
It's just a very nice.
We'll have to try it. All right, so what do we start with? Icebox here, JP?
No.
This is the homebrew?
The homebrew. Yeah.
All right. So here's what I'm curious about with you, Bill. Pretend that you're about to write about this beer. Mm-hmm. What do you go through? I'm curious how you do your tasting.
Well, it's 9 in the morning. I just woke up.
I need to have my pants off.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually taste beer late. I'm not an early person. I don't like drinking beer at 9 o'clock in the morning.
What's wrong with that?
Where your taste beers are.
Yeah.
Your taste buds are. I'm just
so out do, of it. Do you like to write in the morning?
Yeah, right in the morning, but I drink late.
Drink at night.
I drink late.
So you should have a T-shirt that says that.
I just, you know, you open.
Yeah, it's good.
If it's in a bottle or a can or whatever, you open it, listen to it, and then pour it in the glass. Whoa. See what happens.
Yeah.
You know, if
see
this
if it
looks
fizzes
still,
for you.
I don't know whether this is still or what it is.
You don't drink it right out of the right out of the can. Nah. Or the,
he has the recipe the right there.
And I've actually learned to wash my glasses, too. That took me a few years to figure that one out.
That it'll kill the head and all that?
Yeah, not to put them in the dishwasher, and I don't. I'm very pure about that. And I usually use a Duvel glass because, you know, it's got that tulip shape, and it kind of collects all the...
I was on my way over here. I have one Duvel glass.
I have two.
that I prize.
Mm-hmm.
My wife broke it.
Oh, that's divorce.
Probably because you were out late the other night.
She wasn't there, and I go to the kitchen sink, and there it is, and a big, it like half of it's
big D divorce.
Lucky she's
and
hot.
That's it.
Oh, exactly. Because
I got one. For
there
you.
Was a scream. It's a.
I got one for you.
It was not good.
You can.
I haven't approached her with how could you break my Duvel glass?
Could you?
Get the belt.
You mean you haven't given her a black eye yet?
You know, I haven't been home to the point. I can do it in front of everybody at the baseball game.
Yeah.
They have them at, like, Monument Wine and Spirits has them.
Uh-huh.
Duvel glasses.
Yeah,
but it was that one glass.
It's the principle of the thing.
They have a lot of Chimay glasses, but not Duvel glasses.
No, I bought my Duvel glasses.
Well, they don't have them now.
Right now,
And
I got one on the counter right out there for you.
But we're at the Celebrator party, and Nicole from the Trappist had this huge Duvel glass.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I wanted that so bad.
I tried for you, man.
It was... We tried to talk her out of it. I talked to the Duvel guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know where it came from.
The big one? Oh, it's probably the publicity.
Yeah. Oh, but that thing, it's about a foot tall. It's just awesome.
All right, let's get through this tasting because we got some other ones to do also.
Okay. What are we drinking?
It's a California Common.
Yeah. It's a homebrew.
It's a homebrew. Who's it from, JP?
Made by Brewer B.
Jay has all the details.
And Bill was walking us through his process when he's evaluating these.
Well, like I said, then I look and see how it pours and see if there's any foam or what's the foam like. Is there lace work?
Yeah.
And, this is okay. And look at the color. And this one looks like unfiltered, kind of a copper color.
Yeah.
So, you know, note that.
Sure.
Inhale it. Go see what I can find out in the aroma.
So you definitely do all this before you take a sip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I get hops, I guess. I'm not a...
Yeah, I get kind of a...
What do you get?
I get fruity.
Yeah. Very fruity.
Yeah, you do. Especially after a couple beers.
Seems like there might...
Yes.
That was your best delivery yet.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, you know, because you didn't say anything right after, so I could continue.
It smells like there's a little diacetyl in there.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
No, I don't taste any diacetyl.
I get a lot of plum.
I get no diacetyl, and I'll tell you when diacetyl's at all there.
I like how we're all drinking out of a different glass, like a different shape.
It is.
Because in these little tiny ones, I get plum.
I get a little grainy.
Mm-hmm. That's probably right. That's why I was thinking caramel or something, but grainy.
See, that's what I thought that maybe the diacetyl was from, was the caramel kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Aroma.
Have you gone on? Now, at this point, you'll go on to the tasting, I assume. Bill. Are you a judge of any kind? Have you gone through any of the BJCP?
I never have. I used to judge a lot, but when I started writing about beer, I figured, how could I be a judge? You know, I mean, so
or you're a judge of the rights about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Nah.
Yeah,
I can't do that. So, but here's a beer that I trashed in the judging, but it wins. So you have to write about it.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that.
So who's the douchebag? You or the beer?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
If we tell you, for example, though, that this is a California common and you're sitting here doing your tasting, will you reference whether or not it fits to the California common style?
Obviously when you thought... said California Common, I thought, of course, Anchor Steam. Everybody thinks of that. And this is nothing like Anchor Steam.
No, it's not.
It's a very drinkable beer, however.
Yeah.
I would like it a little drier.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like Steam should be more alt-like, you know, a little bit, maybe a little bit more bitter, a little drier.
Like it is like an alt, actually. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
What do you think about those fruit characteristics that are in there? Is that a mistake, Doc?
No. Nevermore? Not at all.
No?
Really?
No, the fruit, I just see California Common, to me, it's a little fruity, kind of JP, but I had to get him back.
But you think that's a characteristic of the Cal Common yeast or something? Okay.
But it needs to be more alt-like, more bitter. This one's...
I wonder what he fermented at. That's what I was thinking, too.
I think it fermented too high, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mid-60s.
And it just got too estery.
Yeah, it's got...
And you said, it's a very drinkable beer.
If you made it, you could drink it without any problems.
It's not a bad beer. Yeah. It's an easy drinking beer, but would it win as a California Common? No. But that doesn't detract from that it's a nice beer. I didn't...
It is Jameel's recipe, according to my notes here. This is a Brewer B, by the way. Brian from Tampa, Florida sent it in for us. He uses Y Yeast 2112 is the... I guess their version of the Cal Common yeast. I'm not sure. OG was 1057. It finished at 1015, which is might explain why it's not as dry as you folks would like. Mm-hmm.
What did it start at?
57.
Okay. Mm.
So what would you rather finish at? Like a 10.8 or something like that kind of dry? Or
12 or
something?
No,
there's a big difference between, was it 15?
15.
And 11? There's a big difference. There's almost a cutoff right there at about 12.
Mine finished at 11.
It goes to 11.
40 IBUs, he says.
I don't get the 40 IBUs.
I don't either. In fact, I think that's one thing that it could have helped. It is a little more. I don't know if this beer is supposed to be hoppy necessarily as a Cal Common.
What people don't do is they put the amount of hops in the recipe it says to ounce wise, but they don't check the
gravity
alpha acids that come with your hops because those change a little bit. It says in ProMash that your hops are going to be 5.2 alpha acids, and you get them back and they're 4.3. You got to adjust for that. You're bittering hops anyway.
Okay.
You should always judge or test your gravity. That's what I learned yesterday. No, I didn't learn it.
So I just learned it.
No,
yes,
I didn't
reiterate.
Wait, let me. I remember kind of formulating this recipe as I was going along and having an idea where I wanted to end up, but I really paid attention to what the gravity was going to be because I was using rye, and for some reason I didn't know what the extract potential was going to be for rye. I didn't have that anywhere, so I just kind of winged it and took the gravity beforehand, and I think that ties into what you're saying about finding out what the hops are and knowing how much you're putting in, basically.
Because
if it was a little bit higher in gravity, I would have added more hops to compensate for it.
I think the original might have been a little bit high on that one. This is one thing I got to say I love about you. You can just wing it. I want this beer, and you can just throw crap in there. I want
crap.
No, a little of this, a little of that.
I use high quality products.
No, it's not. It's a little of this, a little of that, and you can just come out with what you want.
Yeah. You are very much a chef like brewer.
A pinch of this, a pinch of that. And
well, it's funny because my parents were in yesterday up from Los Angeles, and they were kind of in there, and I was kind of like thinking about what I was going to add. I had to add some hops, and I was like, "Did you just see that? I was just being creative just then." That very second.
My son, the creative guy.
That was a good bit for like 5 minutes with them. They loved it.
And what do your parents think about you being a brewer, Sean?
You know, I got to tell you.
He's a restaurant owner, too.
Yes, of course.
They'd rather I were gay, okay?
At the time when I first had this idea, it was met with skepticism. But now it's like, I can't do anything wrong.
Now that you own them and you can buy them, sell them.
Yeah. And you've got a private plane.
I got a private plane.
And a private dancer.
NetJets.
Sully.
And they love it.
Yeah. See?
They walked away with 2 6-packs of IPA in cans yesterday. I bought their meal. They love it. You
know? I don't like that we approve in hindsight mentality.
No, it wasn't that way. But at the time, you know, you tell your parents that you want to go on a career in law.
Yeah, oh,
and,
sure.
And probably a lot of people out there. And
my parents' dream, right?
You know what? Too, yeah. I think I'm going to go to San Francisco and try to become a brewer and open my own place one day. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't ever call me mother again, but sure.
Your name's
not
O'Sullivan anymore.
You're gay, are you?
Could happen.
Now, Bill, you said that your family was into bourbon. They weren't moonshiners or anything.
No.
How old do you think he is?
But they didn't moon a lot of people.
Never know.
They were just what the Sinatra said.
No, I grew up in Nebraska, and my father was a veterinarian, and we had a ranch, and so we raised cattle.
Okay.
So, yeah. And they knew we shouldn't go into agriculture, but they had great hopes. My mother did anyway.
Yeah.
Because she'd been from an old Texas family of nothing but country people, and she thought it'd be nice if we had somebody that was educated and
right.
all that, other,
nice
other than a veterinarian.
You so. Left and became a hippie, didn't you?
Yeah,
he did.
Like
I could tell.
Yeah, I picture you as a hippie. You
had even moved out of the country.
Honey, let's go to Mexico and just have our children and be all love. And
you were a beatnik.
Homeschool them. Well, live on burritos.
Post-beatnik.
Why else go to Mexico? That's where all the weed was coming from, right?
I like that. You said post-beatnik.
Yeah.
Before hippie. Yeah,
well, you weren't maybe an official beatnik, but your mentality
post-beatnik. You could drive
and
down.
And he's a writer.
You drive down Highway 1 in Mexico then, and you see like a Volkswagen van and be like buried in the brush.
Yeah.
The weed just
that
grew.
Isn't that
grew along the,
that's an apartment, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's property.
So you did a lot of acid.
Yeah, when Nixon was...
Probably one of my old vans.
When Nixon was elected president, he put a big bill through to give the Mexican government, and they went around, and they... And limited all the marijuana plants all the way down that highway. But they only cut
it
a swath of about 30 feet. So you go inside 30 feet. There they were, 15 feet high.
Yeah, the Paraquat.
Different world.
You listening to this, Tasty?
Yeah.
And when you say you.
Tasty remembers Paraquat. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember Paraquat. Yeah.
And when you say you mean you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Drunk of the Week phone call. You want to take it?
It's not Push, is it? Is it? Because he's really angry last time.
Yeah, let's
no, we made him angry.
Oh,
let's take it.
He's been a common Drunk of the Week lately.
As long as
a repeat offender
keeps it clean.
It's No Remorse on the line. What's
God, she told you.
How are you, brother?
She has to tell.
It's her job.
I'm pretty drunk, man. I had a couple homebrews and I drank this Lost Abbey Judgment Dale.
Judgment Dale?
Made with raisins. It's crazy.
Raisin d'etre.
You're supposed to start with that beer and then go to the worst beer.
Yeah.
I know. Thanks for speaking my homebrew unofficially there too.
Can you describe to me one of the beers you drank tonight in Arabic, please? You watch how clever my listeners are.
Mekaleka high.
Something.
Mekahine-ho.
He can do this. Watch. This is how clever my listeners are, Bill.
I'll watch.
Go ahead.
There's nobody who's going to understand Arabic.
I will. I'll get you started.
You
want
to bet?
Allah Akbar.
I will bet you there will be somebody.
I just want to hear it. It's help a brother out here. It's a bit. Go
know,
with it.
I know Arabic.
Hung up on.
wait. First of all, who's claiming to know Arabic?
I do. JP.
Okay, JP.
Yeah, Allah Akbar.
JP, you barely know English.
Allah Akbar. Telling you.
He's going to make me look silly here.
I can do one of the prayers.
Allah Akbar mean?
I can do one of the prayers. You ready? Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar! See?
What does that translate to?
God is great.
All right. Hey, No Remorse 1. Listen, can you do the Arabic thing?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, Sully ass. Yeah. It's fine.
Because we're like Chuck Berry's plane. We're going down. Yeah, Let's go.
We got No Remorse 12 on.
Chuck Berry's plane didn't go down.
Oh. We're like Richie Valens' plane.
Richie,
let's go.
Okay. Richie LaBamba's did.
No, I actually had to explain that to my kid this weekend. We were listening to American Pie, and I had to tell him this about Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
And then I had to explain how he went down and how he took people with him and how did he die, Daddy, losing limbs.
Your kids are morbid, man.
They are.
All right, No Remorse.
Before I go into my critique, I want to let you know, Doc, that we were in the chat last night and the night before, and we were like, you know what? The guys in the show, they're going to forget the whole time change. But the only saving grace is at like 4:45, Doc's going to call up. Are you guys going to pick me up or what?
Yeah.
We got us back on schedule.
What are you talking about? Dude, the show, it starts like, what?
It's true.
No, it's usually
give me some Arabic.
It's usually the other way around. Chat calls me and I'm running late. And it's like,
dude, where are you?
What, that's tonight?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, go for it. Give me a beer review in all Arabic, right, please.
Helanta Dodeki, Helanta Mutahalif.
You do it like a white guy. You don't have any accent.
Tighten the towel.
I'm American. What do you think I'm going to say? Like,
yeah. JP sounds more Arabic than you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, JP keeps saying God is great.
God is great.
he's not lying.
Say to my face that he's not.
Look, No Remorse One is out of his mind right now. Yeah, he's going to sound like a white guy. Get him on his game, he's probably like, you know, the guy in the tent down the street.
Yeah. Wrap the towel around your head.
No Remorse,
gone.
You are in the running for Drunk of the Week, my friend.
So you call us
You're
back?
You're going to hang up on me now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes.
I've had conversations in Arabic with people.
So No Remorse is now in the running for Drunk of the Week, and we'll see how the rest of the evening goes.
He'll call back.
Yeah. He'll be back. Oh, he'll be back.
Yeah. I think I'm drunker than him.
All right, what have we moved on to? The Ice Bock? Is that what you guys are tasting?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Now, Sully has the bottle. So
this is the original Ice Bock, Doc?
Is it?
You're telling me?
Kumbacha.
It's one of the ones that is always on the style guidelines.
Uh-huh.
For comparison,
as a reference,
actually the original.
No, but it's probably one of the for a long time. It's the only one you could get.
Yeah,
it defined the category. It's 9.2% alcohol.
That's nothing.
It's made in Kulmbach, Germany.
Is there any left in there?
No. No. Yeah.
Damn it. All right.
But we made one, right?
Is ours larger than 9%?
Our Doppelbock was 9% that I made the Icebock from.
So what's our Icebock, like 11?
Probably more.
That's a big one.
I don't have any way to test it, so.
It smells like ours.
Who was it? Was it?
I should say ours smells like this.
Sven. He was over here, and I gave him like a little glass. And I'm drunk off a half a glass.
Good for him.
It's a good one.
Because he lives in the high desert.
Mm-hmm. Chat, are you done brewing? Where's Shimon?
He's gone.
He's gone?
Yeah.
But he's got to be back because he's got to say.
It's weird. This is a good beer, this Icebock.
Well, it is.
For being that much alcohol, you just don't even taste it.
Mm-mm.
The malt hides it really well without being cloying.
Yeah. You're going to write about this next week, aren't you, Bill?
Bill's in another world right now. Bill, what do you think
of it? Well, he said he hasn't had this in a long time.
I thought it was excellent. Yeah, it's a real sweet caramel sort of taste, which I don't usually like much.
I like the label.
It's quite good.
80s disco.
It is kind of
the label's very
psychedelia.
Sparkly.
You know, it's funny. We've all kind of had a little bit, and it's almost hit us like a big drug. It's like, ooh. Everybody, that's a good one.
It's a good date beer.
This is yummy.
Are you drinking?
Bevo woke up.
Oh,
Bevo,
no?
You're going to get hurt.
You're fine. Drink
it. I'm having a teaspoonful.
It'll clean out
your
kidneys.
Why can't you drink? What's the deal again?
I'm on antibiotics.
She's having sex now.
Yeah. I have a kidney infection.
How far are you into your antibiotic?
Body is rejecting Sam.
Well, you did it for 4 years. Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
She has a dented kidney.
How far am I into my antibiotics? They gave me intravenous antibiotics the first night, and I'm more than about a little, like 5 days
into it.
You're okay.
You're fine.
Drink it up.
Drink it up, sister.
You're good.
See, I love having a doc around. He always gives me permission to do effed up things, and he's a doctor, and so how can you refuse that?
You know, the funny thing is that you feel really good around him because if anything bad happens to you, like you do something that you're not supposed to do, like at Burning Man, or you're tripping out
for example,
and he just gives you something, and you're like, I'm fine now. Let's go running.
I can figure. That's the thing with it. He just has this very calm sort of, doctor's demeanor, and he looks
bedside
at you and he goes,
manner.
And he goes, I can fix that. Don't worry. Just keep.
It's okay.
Just
it's
do
cool.
what you do.
You're anxious right now? You'll be fine in an hour.
I can fix that. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just do it.
Bill, what's your favorite?
That's how you got dates in college, too. Just do it.
Just do it. What's your favorite beer event that goes on? Because you have to go to some of these
Oregon
things.
Oregon Brewers Festival.
Is it right?
Yeah.
We're going this
big,
year. Actually.
We're talking big. You know?
Yeah.
Are you going this year?
I might, yeah.
Yeah?
I go about every other year, yeah. You've been a
Sully goes every year.
Yeah.
Oh, we go
every year. It's a great one.
It's a lot of cans to haul up there.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do it.
There's also a lot of cans there.
Yes.
That's one of the nice things about
it. It's summertime along the Willamette.
It's just, it's great. Yeah. It's and Willamette. You can just walk into Portland without any trouble. It's right there. So you don't have to just hang out at the beer place. You get tired, you walk out, then you come back. It's very nice.
Yeah. When was the last time you did a good beer write-up of Portland and the Oregon area?
Haven't. Not for a long time.
Well, it's time to go.
It's, yeah, it's due, true, baby.
Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't been in 2 years. We're going this year.
When is it?
I'll give you a little inside information.
End of July, right?
And it's the last weekend in July.
Yeah.
And I think we are going to be their official broadcaster this year.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's great.
We are speaking with them right now. They actually, Chat went last year, and he met the organizer. And the organizer... See, this
organizer.
Is weird. So here's the...
All right there, Jumpy.
This is one of those full... I'm actually real proud of this because it's one of those full circle moments for us. We had just started the Brewing Network in June of 05, and I went to the Oregon Brew Festival in July of 05. So they were some of the first interviews I'd ever done.
You were running around with that microphone.
Just running around a little...
Hi, what kind
microphone.
Of beer do you like?
You're just tackling people.
Yeah, and I got in there, man. I was just... I went all over the place. I was really working it to get into those things. And then Shat shows up last year, and he's shaking hands with the organizer, and he says, oh... You're the Brewing Network. You guys are the Brewing Network. I'd love to have you do this festival. So it's kind of, we've really grown up.
You couldn't get people to talk to you the first time.
You know how I got people to talk to me? There was a couple people who were very nice to us. You always find people in the industry, like Sully did to me in this area. You know, he kind of says, hey, this is my friend Justin. He does this, and he introduced you to people. It was the brewer from Full Sail who did that for me.
Oh, wow.
Up
John
there.
Harris.
John Harris. Yeah, very nice gentleman.
Very nice guy. Yeah.
And I interviewed him first. He was nice enough to give me an interview.
Bill, slow down over there.
Just right there at the festival. And then I told him what I was doing, and he said, well, why don't you come with me? We've got this event going on. This is happening. And he introduced me to a bunch of people. And that's how I got interviews. And there's always that one nice person who
feels sorry for you.
Yes, and doesn't think you're completely insane. He gave me I went to his cigar party, gave me a cigar. It was very... Anyway, kind of full circle.
Get your own cigar.
Now I think we're going to broadcast for them this
year. That's awesome. So, that is awesome.
Yeah, I think we're going to write up those details this week. So
Let me know the dates on that.
Always the last full weekend in July.
Full weekend in July. And it's a Thursday through Sunday deal, yeah. But we won't go until...
I might actually be gone, family vacation... Blah blah blah.
Family vacation in Oregon.
But no, this might be the weekend week before.
See, that'd be perfect because you get brownie points for doing the family vacation.
Exactly.
You get to bail with us the next weekend.
You know, usually,
but you were drunk the whole family vacation. You want to go drinking again?
I'm more fun that way.
Yeah, I got to make my own fun now.
Yeah. So OBF is your favorite, huh?
Oh yeah,
I agree with you actually.
Yeah, I really like it. There's nothing like it. Not only do they have great beer, but they have great food.
Yeah.
Like the GABF, the food sucks. I've told them that for many years.
You know,
right. They don't understand. Yeah. They're lost.
It's the OBF and, of course, the anniversary party for the BN.
Ah, that's his other favorite.
You were going to say that. I know. I could tell. I just wanted to.
When is the anniversary?
Well, Bill's never
party
been, but you'll get an official invite this year.
I will come.
It can is be our in official... June.
And the other thing I like are the things at the bistro. I like the bistro. I like their festivals. They always have unusual beer, nice people. It's just
Bill should be our official blogger for the anniversary party.
I'd be glad to do that.
That'd be fantastic. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Our emerging artist is missing. I have to find that person to come and perform the new hit single, which I will announce.
It's going to reveal later.
Hopefully when we come back. And we're going to wrap things up. We're going to hang out with Bill just a little bit more, maybe a couple more tastings, wrap things up, let Bevo, who seems to be falling asleep at this moment, get
some
rest.
Show more cleavage.
Yeah.
I can fix that, Bevo.
He's got...
Well, Sam keeps looking over at her going like, honey, now? Can we go? Are you done?
You're starting to pass out. It must be time.
How about now?
I'm looking sleepy.
Have another pill. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
We haven't heard much from the chat room.
No, they're quiet in there, dude. There's a lot of people listening, though. I can tell
that. It's not too many chat questions or anything.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with Bill. You can go to beernewsletter.com. Stick with us. We're going to finish it all up right here on the session.
Hi.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Did you know that every day a brewcaster goes to bed hungry? Did you know that that brewcaster is silently calling for the help of people just like you? Do you know that every day the unicorn and the rainbow have to blow sailors for loose change? For less than the cost of a half-calf, quad-shot, venti, extra-hot, soy milk, triple-pump, hazel, low-fat foam, double-cupped macchiato a day, you can help starving adults in Pacheco. Your love can be felt for as little as 7 cents a day. Visit thebrewingnetwork.com/donate to sign up today for as little as $2 a month. Private first class in the BN Army. Buy your way up the ranks as corporal, sergeant, ranger, or colonel with an easy-to-do monthly donation that keeps brewcasters alive and your favorite internet radio station broadcasting. No donation is too small to help those in need. Can't you find it in your heart to share your love with a brewcaster? In return, you will enjoy the wealth of knowledge that comes with every episode of The Session, The Jameel Show, and yes, even that other show. Thank you for listening, and please sign up for your donation at thebrewingnetwork.com/donate today.
Did you know that you can not only order from More Beer online at morebeer.com and receive free shipping on most orders over $59, but you can also shop in person at their two retail locations located in Concord and Riverside, California. In fact, the Concord facility has grown to over 15,000 square feet to fit all the new products, expanded showroom, and new Knowledge Center classroom. And now, in conjunction with the Brewing Network, More Beer is making it easier than ever to keep up on what's happening. Download the More Beer monthly podcast by clicking podcast at morebeer.com. You'll learn about More Beer's history, sales and discounts on More Beer products, get to know team members, and hear ways to save you money. They're also launching a brand new website soon with more features and a better online shopping experience. So go to morebeer.com or call 800-600-0033. That's 800-600-0033.
Whenever life gets you down, keeps you wearing a frown, and the gravy train has left you behind, and when you're all out of hope, down at the end of your rope, and nobody's there to throw you a line, if you ever get so low that you don't know which way to go, come on and take a walk in my shoes. Never worry about a thing, got the world on a string, 'cause I've got the cure for all of my blues.
All of his blues.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away.
Bow, bow,
I take
bow,
a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay. I gotta sing and I dance when I glance in my pants, and the feeling's like a sunshiny day. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Put your fast five for you may do well.
Everybody!
Look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start to melt away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay. Yeah, I got great big amounts in the place where it counts, and the feeling's like a sunshiny day.
I take a look at my enormous penis,
and everything is going my way.
My cows are monster.
Everything is going my way.
My meat is harder.
Everything is going my way.
Size doesn't matter.
Everything is
my way.
Mix me your 100-grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. Yeah.
The crowds are lining up for our special surprise performance. Can see it happening.
I hope I get an autograph or some panties or something.
Something.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to listen to it.
Yeah, we're still here. Oh. Bill Brand has not left, which is always a good sign when our guest doesn't bail.
Nobody warned
him about the meltdown.
No, we didn't warn you about the meltdown. At this point in the show, Bill, we kind of started with the meltdown today, so I don't think you'll be that surprised.
Whatever goes. Hey, have fun.
It's going to get ugly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't hold
back. First, it's going to get real beautiful.
And soft.
So sweet. So
we do just have a couple more things to get through today. And one of them is we've got a new emerging artist on the scene with us. And
what scene?
The scene.
Okay.
The scene.
Oh, capital. Okay, sorry.
Shaddy, can you move the mics over so it counts?
And there we go. I have to do that. Shat Stevens is joining us in the studio today with the new hit single. What's it called, Shat Stevens?
This is called Wild Whore.
Okay. And it is a tribute to Shat's crazy bitch. Who,
it is indeed.
Have you seen her since our last report, Shat? No.
I heard from her and no text messages.
We did notice
here
a couple of days later that that she didn't just knock on his window last time. She was on her way in. His screen was laying in the front yard. She had pulled the screen off of his window. Bill, a quick summary is that
Shat has
a special girlfriend. She's insane. She's a lunatic. They don't ever see each other in daylight hours. She just shows up and climbs in the window and then leaves again. So that's the summary.
Well, you know, Sam Squamptions are known to tear through property looking for food, Chad. Mm. So that's what it is.
You said you have gotten a couple texts since the last...
Yes.
Kind of the normal type of text, like, hey, I'm coming
over. Little touch base kind of thing.
And you get on the mic. Hey, how was that over here?
Something like
Jerk.
That.
And you've said no, not now. It's not the right.
Pretty much, you know. It's been quiet.
I'm not feeling so fresh.
It's been quiet.
Not till marriage.
That's what you've said.
I'm saving myself.
It gets quiet before the storm.
Shat has decided. Yeah.
Sammy's setting the tone.
Yeah. Take a page out of Sammy's book, and he's going to give her a kidney infection.
Yeah.
Nick or liver.
I think she'll give Chad some sort of infection.
But we love you so much, Bevo. We're so happy to have you back.
You're dead to me.
Okay, aww. Shat Stevens is here with a brand new hit single performed live. Even though this is the first time it's ever been performed live, it's still a hit single.
It is for the BN.
Well, yeah,
I heard the
we'll be spinning this one.
I heard the warm up, and I really like it.
Yeah.
So
it's, yeah, it, Shat, the floor is yours.
Na 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 na. When I'm lonely and it gets late, my palms they are hairy and I need a date. I look at my phone, I got a text now. Crazy bitch coming. I lock the doors and she circles the house. She's at the window with a puke-stained blouse. Climbs in my room and you know I can't resist. Ooh, crazy bitch, she's a wild whore. She's in my room wearing just a smile. a bitch and she's a wild whore. I haven't blown my load in a long while. She drives over drunk and she's looking fly, risking a hit and run and a DUI. Ask me to set the alarm and I tell her, babe, it's not like that. But if you want to spend the night, go next door. You can bang the neighbor, you dirty whore. Just slip through the half-opened garage door. Ooh, crazy bitch, and she's a wild whore. Wearing in my room just a smile. Crazy bitch, she's a wild whore. The angle breaks off, comes off in a while. I'll put the screen back on now. But if you wanna spend the night, go next door. You can bang the neighbor, you fucking whore. Just slip through the half-open garage door. All right, everybody.
Ooh, crazy bitch, she's a wild whore.
She's in my room wearing just a smile.
Ooh, crazy bitch, she's a wild whore.
The angle bracelet comes off in a while.
Ooh, crazy bitch, she's a wild whore.
She's in my room with just a smile.
Crazy smile.
Ooh, crazy bitch, she's a wild whore.
The ankle bracelet comes off in a while now.
Oh, wow. Chet Stevens, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. Wow.
Smoking.
Wow. What a. Chet, what do you think of that, huh?
Good job.
That's a good tune, huh?
Great job. I'm going to go send a text now.
Yeah, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what Crazy Bitch's new ringtone is? It's going to be that tune.
I'm going to go text her and warm up my punching fist.
Oh, man.
Just get away from me, psycho bitch.
All right, who's on the phone here?
Chris J wants to contribute to the drunken singing.
Oh, like with us, or he has his own song?
I don't know.
Chris J, what's happening?
I didn't do my job.
How's it going, guys?
How are you?
Pretty good. About 8 pints into it. Yeah.
That's good, then.
That is good, yeah. Eight pints of what?
Are you guys ready to continue the singing?
Yeah, do you have another song?
We got another song.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, it's a bit of a repeating song, so you guys gotta repeat after me.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, it starts off. Who can take a crazy bitch?
Who can take a crazy bitch?
Lay her on a bed.
Lay her on a bed.
Make the right decision and fuck the blow-up doll instead.
Fuck the blow-up doll instead.
Make the blow-up doll.
The S&M man, because it takes a lot of love to make the hurtin' feel good.
What is going on here with this program? I thought this was
going to be... Norm Morse knows what I'm talking about.
I'm sure he does.
He's hurting real
good.
Would
only like to know.
These Canadians, I'll tell you what.
What's a safe word?
Hey, easy, Tiger.
They're insane.
How'd you know Sean likes to be called Tiger?
Well, I'll tell you what, for calling in and singing, you definitely beat No Remorse for Drunk of the Week so far.
Thank you.
Because I know he's going to call back.
He called in for a dual Drunk of the Week last week. I think I beat him this week.
Yeah, I think you've... what have you had 8 pints of?
Water.
Well, I've had 2 Imperial IPAs. They're actually my first Imperial IPAs ever.
Oh, they were yours, okay.
I had about 5 pints of ordinary bitter.
Good Lord.
5 glasses of wine.
Gravy.
And a bottle of...
and he's still... He's not even slurring.
Thomas Hardy's Old English Ale.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Where are you in Canada?
Or pregnant.
Or pregnant.
It's cold there. Just how I like them.
Dead or pregnant.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, you want to go fishing in Berkeley?
Oh, that's not. Is that too soon?
That was too soon.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, you guys want to make the song even worse? Or
no.
We should call it a night.
The post right there.
Okay, yeah. All right.
All right, Chris J is our drunk of the week. Thanks, brother. Later.
Later.
Wow, and a valiant effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Bill won't be telling his colleagues to listen to this program.
Yeah, I will.
I have a feeling that we won't be blog fodder next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you will. That's a great song.
Chat Stevens, you did a great job. You got a bright future ahead of you.
Oh, thanks, man. I just take it one day at a time.
little tip for your career. Don't become Muslim and change your name to Muhammad, okay? Yeah.
It won't help.
Doesn't work?
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, can't wait for the album. When's the album dropping?
Just as soon as I drop my deuce.
Oh!
It'll be about the same quality, too, I'm sure.
Maybe even better.
As soon as Crazy Bitch drops 25 pounds?
I get a feeling that Shat's dad is going to make that his ringtone as well. He's he's proud of that song.
That's my boy.
Yeah, he listens every week.
Yeah. For real? This is a real phone call?
For real, for real.
Really?
For real?
Yeah. Chad's mom is on the phone.
No! No!
I'm afraid.
No, really? She has the last name and everything.
Don't be afraid. It's Carol.
Hi, Carol. Hi, how Carol. Are you?
I'm doing good, Justin.
Good.
I just heard a little Chad Stevens song.
And what did you think?
And I just thought I had to call in.
I'm sure it was compelling.
Look at Chad's face.
It was compelling. Yeah.
You can go to chatstevens.com to download the album.
Okay, all right.
Join the mailing list.
Your boy's 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, that is Schumann.
How's it going, Carol?
I'm doing good, Schumann. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Just selling records.
Now,
just a bit. Right.
What, Carol, what did you think about the song?
I thought the song was good.
See?
I don't know. I guess that kind of describes her from the way you guys talk about it.
It does.
Say hi to your mom, Chad.
Hey, Mom, what's happening?
Hi, Chad. How are you?
He was better 2 minutes.
We're sitting here with Cousin Mike listening to the show.
How's the weather?
We had Aunt Diane here, but she had to go home.
Oh, that's probably
that's a good thing.
Carol, you should see your son's face right now. It's like the shade of a tomato.
Hey, I'm just curious, just a bit. This is just a bit, right?
Of course it is. None of this is true.
It's just a bit. Yeah. Your son is
so
the...
How are you guys doing out there?
We're doing fine. It's we've got nice weather.
We're disease-free.
Well, I'd like to hear the disease-free part. That's good.
That's important.
We want to keep you boys that way.
We do, and everything we do is safe around here. We wear helmets on bicycles.
Safe and sane.
Yeah. And most of us are in somewhat stable relationships. We cut away from ourselves, not towards. We check Chad regularly. Don't worry about it. We don't run
with scissors. Yeah.
You know, I thought I was worried about my mom, you know, with starting a brew pub.
Yeah.
No.
Now that you're involved with this program, it gets... Well, here's the thing. This is actually a really surprising phone call because I've tried to get Chad's mom to call in before, and she said, I will have nothing to do with that program. I will not.
I will not call in. I have said that in the past.
So,
but the song... I just felt compelled to call in.
It moved you. It moved us all.
It moved me.
Yeah, it moved her to run to the phone to scold her child.
Chad's a big boy.
Have you been drinking today? Was that the bravery that got you to call in?
No. Just thought I would call in to talk to you guys.
Apples do fall far from trees, is that what we're saying?
Yes.
No, I can't keep up with you guys. You guys drink way more than I do.
Well, that's all a bit. We did
go out to a Thai restaurant tonight.
This is all milk in these beer bottles.
That's what
we did. We had a cottrell, and what did you have, Bob? Hold on. Here's
Singa.
Bob. I'm putting him on.
Right. Put Bob on.
Bob is Chad's dad.
We like Bob.
Justin.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Bob.
good.
How'd you like the song?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, if you buy a copy, then you and Carol will make two copies sold tonight.
Hey, I had a funny thing happen to me this morning.
Okay. We'll see.
I'm in Stonington.
We'll see if it's funny.
I'm at Dunkin' Donuts waiting in line to get a coffee this morning. And Chad gave me that 21st Amendment hoodie.
Oh, a hoodie. Very nice. What a good son.
So the guy, all of a sudden, I'm standing in line, the guy behind me, I hear the guy behind me goes, "Where the hell can you get a canned IPA?"
How about that? And you
told him. Turned around and I said, "You got to have to go to California."
You said 563 2nd Street, just over two there blocks from Giants Park.
Over there in California, over there.
Bobby. So then, now there's more. There's more to this.
All right.
So we go out. We got to dinner tonight because we have Cousin Mike visiting here from California.
Okay.
And his wife calls up while we're out having dinner. And she's trying to rent her house. And she interviews this couple. And they go, "Wow, this is going to be an awesome place. I think we'd like to move in here. And there's a perfect place where we can brew, honey."
Brewers.
Nice.
Yeah.
And she goes, "You brew?" And they go, "Yeah, we brew. We brew our own beer. Matter of fact, we listen to the Brewing Network."
You're kidding me. How about that?
It's the Hannings.
See? Yeah.
A lunch meat tattoo.
We're everywhere, Bob. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, you're everywhere.
So did you drop the Chad bomb and said, "My son's Chad"?
Yeah, did you say my son's the producer?
I had a dogfish tonight.
Did you?
Oh.
He jumps around a lot.
Change the subject.
60-minute IPA or something like that.
Oh, the 60, huh? That's a good beer.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I got to say thank you for calling in, and I hope you guys enjoy the song. We're going to send you a signed copy.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait for it.
Awesome. All it means is
we'll play it on the local radio stations here.
Good.
We're going to burn it on a CD and just write on it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a pressing or anything.
At least give it to whenever you... I know how Connecticut is. It's a small place. I know you're always running into Shat's high school friends. You got to be able to hand them a copy of this tune.
we'll send multiple copies.
We'll burn a few more when we get in here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Bob. And please thank Carol for calling in also that you guys made the show.
All right, thanks.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you later. Adios.
We should make this thing a picture disc.
Yeah, I think so. Chat, you're awfully quiet today. You okay?
Yeah. He's all spent from brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks tired.
Yeah. Well,
he's saving his energy for tonight.
And it's 6 million degrees in here.
Yeah, that could be it, too. Wow, what a finale. I can't believe your mom called in.
That's good.
That is great.
I have to send his dad a check now. I forgot all about that promotional thing.
After that. Man, you're really spreading those dollars around, Sully.
You know,
it's working, apparently.
If Shad's dad could have turned around and pulled out a can of IPA, that would have been even better.
Yeah.
That would have been better than what Chad would have done.
Where the hell can I get a can of IPA? Well, right here. It's my East
right
Coast
here,
accent.
Right at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, right in my pocket.
That's awesome. Dunkin' Donuts is awesome.
I love
what
this,
time
too.
In the morning would he want an IPA in a can at Dunkin' Donuts?
At the Dunkin' Donuts.
It just doesn't go...
At every time in the morning.
Yeah, any time.
What's wrong with you?
Something's got to go in that donut hole.
Hi.
All right, we got to wrap things up. Let's get out of here. We got some food to eat out there. And
food?
Maybe another bill. Another beer for Bill. Another bill for beer.
Yeah.
One of those. And... get out of here.
We have a lot of bills to pay.
I'm all flustered. I'm real stoked that Chet's mom called
that
in.
Was,
they're a nice family. I love those two.
Oh, it's a bit, right, boys? It's a bit.
Yes. Because there's no such thing as crazy bits.
Everything's a bit.
I've never seen her.
I haven't.
Bill doesn't even exist.
Raise my hand. The truth is I've never seen her.
Yeah,
but true. I believe I have.
All right. We're looks like I have one more phone call to take. And then, just tell me who it is. You don't. You type like a... retard.
Whoa.
Oh. I do.
She's got a kidney infection. She's not supposed to be typing.
I'm married to Sam. I have an excuse.
When I'm healthy, I can't type. It's not my fault.
Who's on the phone?
Brew Tattoo wants you to play his song.
I don't have it, Brew Tattoo.
He doesn't have it, Brew Tattoo.
I have the disc. You're on the air, by the way. I have the disc, but I don't have it in front of me. And so you're going to have to wait till next week.
You promised last week.
I did.
It was a
exactly
bit.
Exactly what he told me.
That was a bit, Brew Tattoo.
You sent him an email this morning?
It was a... Oh, fuck.
I was drunk of the week. He promised to play it.
How about we take a break? We'll come back and do it.
I don't have any more breaks. That's it.
I don't believe you.
We'll just have, we'll have dead air. Come on. I know you love dead air.
Chat, where's the CDs that came with all that stuff? Are they on the table right out there in the kitchen? Will you check, please? There should be some CDs that came with the... I'll try to... If I can make it happen quickly, I'll...
He's like looking at Chat. Please help me. Please help me.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, Brutetu. You've made too much of this now. The song's going to blow, and...
We're going to rip you a new one.
Yeah, and then you're just going to get made fun of, you see.
Because we're not music critics, we're beer critics, but we'll still rip you up.
Yeah, we're also music critics, too.
Oh, yeah. We are tonight.
Well, I said beer, too, which I don't hear Doc drinking any of.
Well, that was one of the plans, was actually to get your beer tonight and drink that one.
Is it music?
My beer?
Is it music for the session and the other show?
No, what was it with the cherry chocolate stout thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get to it.
I know.
You promised. Hey, you promised.
You would drink my beer.
You promised.
You told me you loved me.
But I mentioned it.
All right. It's hard to hear you cry with a shotgun in your mouth.
I love you, baby.
Look,
Emma got it. What?
I think we're working. I think in a Gotta De Vida.
This is a long song.
God. We'll just play a little bit of it, and we'll rip on it, and then we'll dump out of it.
All right, here it comes.
I'm just kidding, by the way.
You said out of it.
It's just a dump.
It's just a bit. Here it comes.
Get off the ledge.
Is this it?
Hi there.
Hi.
Ever had a craft beer in a can?
I'm Sean O'Sullivan.
Hi.
Beer in a can?
There you go.
That's right, cans.
Big intro.
Hi.
Every day in lunch in high school and all of my senior year.
That's a great song.
I drink my Coca-Cola with a touch of Everclear.
Oh.
I never had to study math, science, or history. I'd have a chemical flashback to jog my memory. In my junior year,
this production's a lot better than yours, Chad Stevens.
One night I put some Everclear in her Dr. Pepper can. I thought it'd make her easy, but she took it pretty hard. I took her home and rang her doorbell, left her laying in the yard. Tequila drives me out, and beer just makes me fat. Whiskey makes me nauseous, tell me who the hell needs that.
All right, it's good. You know,
I scratch my balls.
We'll put it at the break next show. How about that?
Well, you said that before.
Jesus. Well, now he's saying it again, jerk, okay? That's twice he said it.
I can listen to that in my Hummer.
It does sound good.
Listen,
you
to
said
the,
Hummer.
But not in my Beamer station wagon.
No, in the Beamer station.
Or not with my trophy wife.
Nope. That's her car.
Sully just said you have a trophy wife.
Hey, look, I got in the ground floor. She was 17 when I met her.
Whoa.
Wait, whoa. Beep, beep, back up.
Did you celebrate her 18th birthday early, Doc?
I wasn't collecting dates back then.
In Australia, you're 18.
Yeah.
All right, Brew Tattoo. Thank you.
It sounds great.
I like it. Carefully selected.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Too, I might add.
This one's called Dolly Parton's
Kids. Trying to program your own show here.
Nah, Dolly Parton's Kids is good.
I like the Gator Nut.
He is proud of himself.
I'd like to see Knievel blown to bits. This is all Ray Stevens, or what is it?
Like that's all racist. Sunburn lay his hands upon Molly B. But I'd love to see that Dolly Parton's tits. Yeah, I'd love to see that Dolly Parton's tits. Literally?
You're old she is now?
Well, you know what? They're still like way up there in the air, so.
Yeah. I like how like in her 60s she decided to get a breast reduction.
This is called Drunken Lazy Bastard.
Hey, Chad.
Very descriptive.
Such a chat.
Bastard.
How much more lazy could you be? Just text for sex.
That's a little flogging Molly-ish for you, isn't it, JP?
Yeah, little Pogues.
Pogues, definitely Pogues.
It's the Mahones.
Well, I was down there and I cut their head.
The Pogues.
I said, "Rider, interesting, Ronnie, Ron." Hey, see you, Ronnie, Ronnie, see
you. $2.
Boy, oh boy, you guys are uppity,
aren't they? It's not that hot.
Very Pogue-ish.
I hate the long intro song as well.
You know,
just speed up through that. You hit that little.
So I'll edit them next time for you, okay?
Yeah,
and he'll make you play them again.
Yeah.
We want a little more respect, you will.
We don't want to put you out or anything.
Can I just mention?
No problem.
No.
Yes. I got
Chris J is drunk of the week. He asked me to do that. So,
is
yeah,
he though?
He is, isn't he? Didn't you give him drunk of the week?
He is, yeah. We gave
him. Yeah, he's drunk of the week.
It's all
we
him.
Gave it to him?
No way.
We should give it to him? Looks like that.
Yeah.
No.
ain't drinking. Beer ain't drinking.
Beer ain't drinking. I don't care what your mama's thinking. Everybody knows that beer ain't drinking.
Oh. Sort of want to throw my beer bottle at the band.
Behind the chicken wire.
Yeah, behind the chicken wire.
This song is for Sully. It's called Pussy Whipped.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm pussy whipped in my pants and I don't know what to do. Ow!
Change your pants.
Well, I met a girl. She's a lot of fun. When I saw her, I knew she was the one. But I'm with her.
Pussy whipped.
Should take some influence here, Shat Stevens.
I've actually heard this
song. Some good songs to write about.
Yeah, he's got some good topics. I like it.
He's very clever.
I want a goat song.
I'm going to expand my mind.
All right, Brew Tattoo. Thank you for the tunes, my brother. Are we putting these in rotation? They are good.
Good song. Hey, there's 2 hours and 45 minutes on there.
There is. I'm looking through this. There is a heap of songs.
Sir, you got a lot of time on your hand.
Are you in sales?
Last time I heard some of them.
Does your boss know you're doing that?
I am the boss.
Oh, well, there you go. He's like you,
Doc. Better to do.
You're Bruce Springsteen?
ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen's on the line.
Oh, damn, I blew my cover. My blue-collar cover.
Let's try to branch out there. Get away from the family for a bit here in Arkansas.
I'm from Arkansas.
1982. Pulling up some corn and a little carrot, too. Do low-flying aeroplanes 500 feet high. Drunk a bunch of bales or something and some hit me.
It's called Bales of Cocaine, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
So I cut a bale open. Man,
why did you point Doc out on that one?
I'm just saying.
All right.
So I'm old enough to live through the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thanks, brother.
Burning Man thing.
I lived through them.
Appreciate it. I will be putting these
most
in
of
the
them?
Rotation.
Yeah, some of them.
I started on the
later.
Some of them.
All right, there we go.
More than half.
More than half.
You were born in them.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do anything dangerous until the early 90s.
People that are born in the 80s creep me out. I don't know what it is,
yeah,
man.
Something
it's just
a little wrong.
It is. It's just not right. You know, it's creepy.
I think it's
1983.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Talk to me when you're born in the 50s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be right back.
You can call my mom.
All right. Yeah, I want to say,
I could.
Bill, thanks very much for doing the program with us. A pleasure having you here.
Oh, great. This is incredible. Thanks.
Really a lot of fun. You can check out beernewsletter.com/blog, and you can always find Bill's writings in the Oakland Tribune and the Contra Costa Times, and who even knows where else across the country, right? They just pop up everywhere.
Yeah, San Jose Mercury News. That's the
and the San Jose Mercury News. So, really, I appreciate you having it. It's been a lot of fun, and we got to do some good tastings. And Bevo, good to have you back on the program.
Good to be back.
Bill, are you going to stay a while?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to have a beer and a little food afterward, then we get to hang with... I had to turn you down. You're fucking hackling into the microphone.
I don't even know why.
I don't care why. You hackle away from the microphone. Okay. You know.
But it's JP hackling.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
JP's
hackling.
Look, I don't like this.
Shat
like
Stevens.
It at all now.
Go ahead, Shat Stevens.
Why don't you shut the fuck up, JP? Why don't you turn your microphone down? Nobody wants to hear it.
You don't even know when to laugh.
Don't even know when to laugh.
See what I mean?
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Sure, I'll have the one right now.
A bark will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew at a time, and the women think the lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love a better homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have me, well, I'm the one right now.
with the love of that homebrew. Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind.